So hi, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to our, there's Sheila. Welcome to our nutrigenomics interpretation part one. We actually used to do these all in one day, and they've gone, I think 10 hours once. I mean, it was only supposed to go like 6 hours or 7 hours or whatever. And at 10 hours, we still had most of the people still there. So it can be real fascinating, real interesting. And anybody that submitted their reports, I'm going to go through them with you and explain them. But here's what I would really recommend is that you make sure that you are staying present and listening while I'm working with other people and have your report out in front of you. I'm going to mostly focus on the genetic detoxification, and they may move to other reports to verify a few things or if there's some things I'm looking for that are missing. But have it in front of you. And as I go through and explain, like say you have a specific SNP, I'll go through the, you know, the specific language at the beginning, but you have a specific one that Diana has, you can start taking notes, huh, about what I'm saying. And then by the time I get to you, it'll sink in because there's a lot here. And I'm glad Diana and Paula are at the beginning because you guys have been through this before with me. And, you know, Diana was at the conference on live stream last year. Has some sense of it, you know? So, but take notes when you see, oh my God, mine's red too. Okay, take some notes about some of the stuff I'm saying and then we can talk about it. Now, I may say something different to Diana than I might say to Paula because I know a lot about their background and it may apply differently to each of you. So I'm taking into account what I know about you, what I've seen in other tests if you've submitted them, and what I've known from learning about you on different calls. So, you know, I just want to say that we're really looking at our SNP reports, which is the genes that we're born with. SNP stands for single nucleotide polymorphism, which is basically a little tiny shift in one of the pieces of your huge strands of DNA, which makes up who you are, that is different. And it can make a huge difference. Now, not all of these quote unquote SNPs that we have are pathogenic, like, oh, they're going to make us not function right. Blue eyes, brown eyes, heights, a lot of that stuff is coded by just a little bit of a different thing on eye color, right? So it's much more complicated than what we learned in high school, but we can think about the basics that way, right? Some traits are going to be overriding other traits because they're stronger, they're more dominant. But the thing about this is, I don't want you to think that just because something's in your genes means that that's something you're going to have a problem with, right? What we found is that it's 95 to 99% epigenetic modification, right? We don't have to express. There are certain genes that code for a trait that have found a one-on-one relationship. Are you hearing me? My microphone? I can't read, Lynn. I don't read while I'm talking. So
I was that. I'm not a co-host, so I can't mute people. So I was asking people.
Okay.
If they're not.
Here's the thing. I'm usually a good multitasker, but one thing I'm not good at is looking at reports and talking, connecting.
Right.
And
so
that at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at that. Lynn's great at that. I am not.
So I was just asking people if they were talking to just make sure their microphones are muted. Okay. So that's what I was saying.
Maybe my mic wasn't working, but I am going to give you the code.
Nope, you're good. Okay.
Zoom used to give Lynn automatically make her co-host. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So there are some like cystic fibrosis is one that we have found a one-to-one correlation between having the gene and it expressing. And there are certain diseases like that, but for the most part, it increases having a gene increases your tendency towards your possibility of developing a certain imbalance in your body, but it doesn't mean that you're going to get that. So as we go through this, I don't want you to get scared like, oh my God, I'm going to get Alzheimer's, you know, my genes. No, it doesn't mean that, but what it does mean is that you need to be more careful about your exposures, your diet, your lifestyle, your patterns. And somebody who has this beautiful gene pattern, by the way, I haven't seen any of them, that's all green. I've never seen a test that everybody had all green ever. And I've looked at hundreds of these, okay? I don't think they exist, right? Because you're going to see some variations. But it doesn't mean that you have to be sick. But it does mean that those of us, and I say us because I have some not so good genes, those of us with those gene patterns do need to be more careful. If I smoke cigarettes, I'm going to die really young, right? It just goes to for fact. Look at my family. Everybody that smokes cigarettes either got cancer, heart disease, dropped dead of heart disease right away, or had emphysema, right? I look at my genes, I'm not gonna handle it, right? Somebody else like George Burns, perhaps, right? Lived to be 100, smoking cigarettes, drinking, et cetera. So what I want you to know is the genes dictate how careful you have to be. But just because you have good genes in an area doesn't mean you can be careless. So you can have good genes and you can get disease and be sick if you don't take care of the epigenetics. But if you have the bad genes and you do the bad things, then you're more likely to express that way. Does that make sense? And when I go through this, I'm not looking for you have a chance of Parkinson's or you have a chance of Alzheimer's. No, I'm looking for pathways that I can say, hey, here's how we can support this particular pathway. And here's what nutrients you have to focus on, what foods you may have to avoid, et cetera, based on your genes. So I have these really cool charts, and I don't know if they have been uploaded yet to the ERC page, the nutrigenomics page. My intent was to get these all uploaded. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure after this that I make sure I send an email that gives you access to these charts and allows you to, after this, it's probably better that you have it after rather than during because it'll be confusing. But Lynn and I put together these charts. They're not complete. There's still some genes missing, but we worked tirelessly. I mean, well, we did get tired, but we worked like maniacs to try to get these done for our SHINE conference. And there's about, I think, 12 or 15 of them. And what we've done is it kind of parallels the genetic detoxification report. And a lot of the information was taken from the book that goes with the genetic detoxification report. Now, I'm not going to say that I 100% agree with all the lifestyle things that somebody may say in a book, but this book is, it's really phenomenal in helping you to analyze that genetic detoxification report because you can say, oh, I have a SNP in that area, and it says on the report what page it's on in the book, and you could read more about it. What Lynn and I did, though, was we took the genes and we laid them out on this chart and we put down the gene name and variant, the what's called the RSID, which is a particular nomenclature. Yep, she has them too. We put down the risk allele, meaning which one is the preferred one to have and which one is the one that puts you at risk. And then what's the function of that gene? Right. So I'm going to give you an example. I'm not going to give you an example now. I'll give you an example when I open up Diana. So we'll go through that. And then what are some of the health risks that might be associated? But then here's where the thing, actions to take to protect you from the effects of that gene. Avoid these, increase these, and then maybe some lab testing that might be helpful if you have that gene expression and you have some symptoms related to it. Is that making sense? So you'll see these, you'll have access to these to go back and review. You'll also have access to the recording of this. And I'm going to start my little otter thing. And we'll hopefully also, if I don't run out of minutes, have access to this kind of transcript, right? It is a transcript, but it's a software that we installed that will, as I'm speaking right now, it's recording me, but it's also transcribing it. Now, it's a computer, and I talk fast, and I use medical terms. So sometimes it says, looks like weird things, like the cat got on the roof, and maybe I'm talking about some, you know, like Lynn had one. We had one, and we recorded it, and Lynn said something weird. I'm like, what did she mean? So I pressed the button, and I could play it right there, and she goes, I don't know what I said because it really sounds like what they transcribed. So it's not always like, it's sometimes very fun to read them, but it'll give you some semblance of what I'm talking about for your section. And it's easy to scroll through it and then you can click the button and actually play the recording. So I'm going to actually send you that link of the Otter recording and transcript. Okay. We're new at this. So it's not like if we have a real person doing it and then we go in and edit it, but it's really, it can be really helpful. Right. So take notes. I still recommend taking notes because the more of your senses you get involved, the more you're going to remember. And you're not going to remember all of these. And I'm going to disclaimer, I don't have all of these SNPs in that report memorized, right? There's some that I see over and over and over again, and I can off the top of my head explain to you what it is. And there's others that I don't see so often that I'm going to periodically peek at my charts or peek in the book to give you an idea of what it means, okay? But if you have a lot of the common ones, I can look really, really smart, okay? But I'm not, you know, I don't have a photographic memory, so forgive me if I do look things up, but I it's easier for me to look it up, interpret it, and explain it to you than if you look it up, it may go like, that's Greek to me, right? I don't really understand what that's saying or what that means, but I can quickly jog my memory and explain it to you. So if you see me looking at a book, it's not that I'm new at this. I've been doing this for 12 years, but I love this book because it gives me that nice snapshot. And there's no person in the world, maybe Jeffrey Bland, because he's got a photographic memory, but there are no people I know of in the world who can memorize all the SNPs and what they mean and what to do with them. It's, you know, but when you have this understanding and you've been working with it for a while, like I have, I can pretty much do a lot of them, but not all of them. So I just wanted to have that disclaimer up front. Okay. So before we begin.
So I just wanted to pipe in real quickly, just so people understand that we didn't just open the book and put the information in. We, as you know, it's like, okay, somebody's saying this and we want to verify it. So we verified a lot of it. Some of it we're like, you know, there's enough discrepancy, and we talked it out and put down. So you've got the best.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
You've got the best of our minds on it.
This here, but I don't think this is true. And this is what I found. I went, no. So we're thinking it through. We're not just taking and copying from the book to the charts, but we wanted a cheat sheet for ourselves, right? We wanted to be able to look them up and be able to quickly remember, but also a lot of them have similar actions. So I don't know if you can see it, but there's little check marks. So there's actions up here and then there's check marks, and there's a lot that have similar actions. So whose was I going through? I was going through it on a call with somebody the other day where I was, what, towards the end, I was saying, well, this is just like what we've been saying all along, right? These. So at the beginning, it might be some new things that I'm saying, but by the end, a lot of the SNPs are reinforcing some of the basic stuff, right? And I have terrible genes. Full disclosure, I don't mind putting up my genetic detoxification report. It doesn't have my name on it just to protect me in the future. Somebody says, this is yours. No, it's not. So in case an insurance company or somebody wants to, you know, so I put a pseudonym, and a lot of you have, which is a great way to do it. But I actually gave my, reports as part of the SHINE conference, and it was called Sample. And I don't mind that be, you know, I don't mind in front of you guys. I just don't want, you know, it to be medically held against me someday, right? That you have a gene for that. Therefore, I don't plan to get sick, but you never know in this litigious situations. So any questions before we start? It's going to be fun. We're going to take breaks. I promise you. I realized one time we did this and then we went 8 hours without taking a break. And I was like, oh, I think I have to pee. Let's take a break. I'm like, how did I go for 8 hours? Everybody else had gotten up, but you know, we're going to try to take a break every couple hours. Well, I figure with the number of people on here, we have 15 to 20 minutes per person, maybe a little bit more, but I want to leave a little fudge. Dr. Love. Okay. Unmute.
Oh, where do you get the charts?
Oh, we're going to put them up on the Nutrigenomics page. We made these charts.
Okay.
We made them and we gave them out at SHINE. So I had asked ages ago, but I never put it into the TW test. That's how we keep track of everything, for it to be put on our Nutrigenomics page for ERC. But we'll put them up there. They're okay. Great charts. They're just, I will say, with lots of pride and joy, Lynn and I really did a great job. And Marsha actually helped when I was trying to figure out how to format it, because it's pretty fancy how it's formatted. So thank you to Marsha too for her help with that. Okay, any other questions before we start? So we're going to start with Diana, then we're going to go to Paula, and let's see, let me come over here. Paula, Carolyn, and Sheila and Jeannie. So that's the first five. So that's what we'll be doing. And Gail's here too. Hey, great. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share my screen. Do I have your permission? Let's have everybody raise their hand. Do I have your permission to share your screen in front of everybody else? Okay, good. Great. All right. All right. So I'm going to go share screen. And here it is. Here's my cheat sheet. Thanks to Lynn for making such a great cheat sheet. I'm going to move all the Zoom stuff to the other screen. If you see me looking over, it's just because I have two screens and I'm trying to maximize the space on here. Okay, so we're going to go to, oh wait, I already have hers open. I got myself started. All right. So this is the report that all of you have done that said you were going to get this, get your stuff read today, this genetic detoxification. I remember going over this with, was it Rich recently? It was really eye-opening, wasn't it, to go through this? But it'll help to go through it again because you'll, you know, you remember, we all remember what, 7 to 10% of what we hear the first time. So it's a repetition is good. So just as an aside, just so everybody gets it and remembers, or I mean, you may have gotten this by watching some of my videos on the nutrigenomics page, but when you get your genes tested, they're looking at each particular gene, they're looking at what you got from your mom and what you got from your dad for simplicity's sake. And if it looks green, if it says homozygous negative, it means mom and dad both did you a favor and gave you the most effective form, the non-risk allele. And alleles are, you know, it's a genetic term. So you did not inherit a risk allele from either parent. Heterozygous means you inherited one of two risk alleles, right? So you, one of, well, that should just say one of the risk alleles. And so that would be a plus minus. We don't know which parent did it on, you know, and sometimes we can figure it out based on like your family history. This guy had a heart attack or dad, you know, had the stroke and that's probably got that one from him. And then homozygous positive is the ones we want to be really aware of. So when we look at a homozygous positive, it means both parents gave you the risk allele for that particular trait. And in that particular case, they've measured that when we're talking like a pathway, an enzyme, a specific way that things are going, a detox pathway, whatever in the body, that generally speaking with a homozygous, we're looking at about a 75% decrease in the function of that enzyme. So for example, if it's a detoxification pathway, it means, yeah, you better be careful about exposing yourself to the thing that does, that you're going to have 75% loss of, but only 25% of the capacity of that particular area in your body to detoxify. So, and they're not all detoxification. A lot of them are, but they're related to a lot of other functions. With the heterozygous, we're probably looking at 25% to 30% to 40% maybe loss of function, as opposed to 75 to 85% loss. So we're going to really focus, if you've got a lot of heterozygous, we're going to focus in on mostly the homozygous, but I'm going to talk about some of the key ones that I want to share with you that there's something you can do about with the heterozygous, okay? If we were going to go through each of you and go through every single gene in this thing, I would take an hour and a half for each person, and we don't have that, right? And some of you who are, you know, who are gold pluses and you have more visit, you know, we've done this before, but we're going to go through it again because I'm always learning new stuff and you're always going to pick up new stuff. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any clarification questions there? And the way that this report is laid out is the reason I like this one, and I asked everybody to get this one, even if you'd had other ones before, because of the way it's organized. It's organized in a really nice way. Like here's phase one detoxification. Here's phase two detoxification related to glutathione. They also have phase two detoxification related to acetylation, glucuronidation. These are all different pathways in the liver. And we have those. We have a module in the program that goes into this. I think it's in the elite, the more advanced programs. And then we have methylation, B9, B12. So it's really nicely laid out. There's even a section, and I'll just skip to the back, There's even a really cool section on vitamin and mineral imbalances. Do you have a tendency towards maybe needing more of these particular nutrients because of the genes, right? So I really like this report. Okay, so Diana, we're going to go through this. And I love it if when I go through it with you, as long as there's no noise in your background, you open up your line so that in your on video, so that we can have a conversation, right? I know you're a little off to the side over here because of the way that Zoom makes the things when we're sharing, but I'd love to be able to make eye contact with you as we go. So Diana, are you there?
I'm here.
Where are you?
I don't know. I'm at the top of the screen. I'm on the far side, but between.
Oh, there you are. You popped in. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So again, we have these cheat sheets we're going to give you. So make notes as I'm going through, but also I would have your report handy, print it out if you haven't already. Hopefully you did. And print it out and mark as I'm saying to Diana what that red one is that she has. Maybe you have one there. Maybe you have a yellow in that area. Okay. So these are the detoxifications. Okay. So 1A1 is related to.
So, before you go on, I'm just going to share what my intention, what I'm planning on doing for everybody is doing just a set of notes within your genetics file. So when you open up your genetics, it will be the notes that I'm taking as Dr. Eden Marie is talking.
So between Lynn and you taking notes, it'll be awesome, right? You'll
get the otter.
And Otter doing a transcript, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Lynn.
So I'm gonna tell Otter, this is Diana Palmer. So they will that so when you get there, you'll be able to look for your name in there. Hopefully it spells it right, but who knows? All right. So the CYP phase one detoxification, liver, and it'll be more in depth on Diana's because I'm explaining some of the stuff and then we'll go through more quickly on the next ones because I'm gonna give you some background. But the phase one, liver has phase one and phase two detoxification. And so something toxic to the body, something that could be dangerous to the body comes in, the liver detects it, and it has pretty much a simple process in phase one, and it's controlled by these different, what they're called, cytochrome P450, if you care. CYP stands for cytochrome P450. So it has these different enzymes, these different reactions in there to detoxify certain substances to make them ready for phase two. Phase two is a little bit more complicated. So in phase one, we have CYP1A1, which she has a heterozygous. And I'm going to talk about these because they're very connected, even though she has heterozygous. And then she has homozygous, red. And I'll just say yellow and red because it's easier to say than homozygous and heterozygous, right? So she has a yellow, she has one red in this whole thing, which is, you know, it's not too far impaired. The ones that have these little dashes are that dumb old 23andMe stopped doing them. They used to test them. And they stopped, right? So I'm looking into some other genetic reports. I just haven't had the time recently to really evaluate that I'm going to run on myself, see how I like them and see how complete they are. And once we do, then, you know, if it's inexpensive, like $100, you might want to do it again if there's particular areas that we're concerned about. But the 1A1s, the 1A2s, and the 1B1s seem to be the ones that she has the issues with. So the 1A1 is related to polycyclic hydrocarbons. So charbroiled meats, gas fumes from the car. So I always tell people, whenever they have a 1A1, to be careful, don't eat charbroiled meat, and be careful about the fumes from the car. Like if you're putting gasoline in your car, don't leave it running because you're going to be breathing in those fumes. If you have a car, an attached garage, then when you pull into the garage, wait about 20 minutes before you shut the door down so you give the fumes a chance to escape into the outside so they don't creep underneath the door into your kitchen or whatever other room you lead into. And then it also metabolizes excess estrogen. So it's responsible for keeping the good estrogens up and the bad estrogens detoxified. So you've got that there. So that the reason I'm doing this is because the 1A2 is also related to estrogen, but it's related to caffeine. So I tell people who have a SNP, whether it's homozygous or heterozygous, if it's homozygous, I say, get off caffeine. It's not good for you. If you have a heterozygous, it's like minimize caffeine. The reason is it's the same pathway that also detoxifies that 4-hydroxyestrogen, which is very dangerous and can create breast cancer. So every time you drink a cup of coffee, you're distracting your liver from detoxifying the estrogens and in order to detoxify the caffeine. So that's that there. And then it also detoxes Tylenol. So people with this SNP, like, you should be really careful to avoid Tylenol, you know, and you're an herb person and you probably would rarely reach for a medication if you had a headache or something. You know how to do this with herbs, but for most people don't have that understanding. And so they, every time there's a headache, you reach for the Tylenol. And so that's a bad thing to do. The 1B1 also helps with estrogen. So all three of these, 1A1, 1A2, and 1B1 are all related to estrogen. And the 1B1 is really purely devoted there. It doesn't have, I mean, it may have other functions, but it doesn't have like competing with caffeine and hamburgers, right, on the barbecue mm-hmm. grill, right? Let's see. So she's also got a 3A4 and 3A4 is also related to those estrogen pathways. And it's also related to breakdown of 60% of the known drugs, including steroids. Okay, so with a SNP there, you just want to be really careful if ever you have something that requires a drug prescription that you know your genes, right? And then you talk to your doctor and say, you know what, I don't have a good detoxification. I may not have a good detoxification pathway here because of my genes. And so let's look at some other alternatives. Like, you know,
that's the 3A4.
3A4.
That's probably why I'd never do well with prescription drugs. I always do very poorly. It doesn't matter what kind it is.
There you go. Well, 60% of them.
Okay.
Yep. And it also is important for the breakdown of pesticides, organophosphate pesticides.
That's right. Why I ironically
get it. So you grow your own garden, right?
Don't get along with chemicals at all.
Don't get along with it, right. All right, so that's that. And it's related to the 16-hydroxy. I can't remember on your Dutch, did you have low on the 16-hydroxy?
No, there was only one that was a little, maybe it was the 16.
Maybe it was. Anyway, it has to do with that. So the test results can, you know, correlate. So just take notes on your
bone health.
Yeah, that's related to bone health. And yours was low because we said make sure you do your nettles and all that.
Yeah.
All right. So we also have glutathione SNPs. And here, glutathione is master antioxidant. There's three main big hitters when it comes to antioxidants: glutathione, catalase, and SOD, superoxide dismutase. And we'll see them, each of them covered in different parts of this report. But glutathione's the mama, you know, the grandma, the big, big heavy hitter. And you've got two SNPs in the glutathione S, where it is. The first one is, there's an oxidized and a reduced form. I don't have to go into all these details. I'm just going to say, you have some issues here with glutathione. I'm trying to make it so that I'm not going too geeky on you and geeking out on these pathways, but you've got two of them related to glutathione and they're pretty similar. And on this chart, it describes the GSR and then it has some things like, you know, things to reduce or avoid, right? Cigarette smoke. Charbroiled food, herbicides, pesticides, insect sprays, industrial solvents, alcohol, toxic metals, and again, Tylenol. So, right?
Yeah.
So this is really important and this might be why you're having some of those clotting and other issues related to the cigarette. So you're not a good candidate for smoking.
No, apparently not.
Nobody is, but no. You're a worse candidate for that.
Yeah. All right.
And it's red. So it means that, you know, awesome. That pathway is 75% or more depleted.
Yeah, when I came down with the chronic fatigue syndrome 30 years ago, I was working in a paint shop, and I was exposed to all of the petroleum-based solvents on a daily basis, where I really had my hands in them and was breathing them, silkscreen printing and cleaning the screen.
Yeah, so it explains why you're
getting sick,
having an issue, right?
Yeah, it could have destroyed my health completely.
So the NAT2, and we have some other charts, which I'm going to open up real quick. We have some other charts that are on your, there's summary charts of all the detoxification ones and the methylation ones, and it's on the nutrigenomics page. And I'm just going to open it up and show you guys where it is, because I have a link in that chart to a couple of places in like Snipedia and other places like that, where you actually can see which of the drugs those particular ones detoxify. So we're going to go to, I got to get my password in here. Of course, I don't remember. Okay, so I'm going to go here and I'm going to show you on this page. There's two charts, which I highly recommend you print out. And these charts are really cool. Why is it taking so long? My computer has got chronic fatigue. I have to reboot it very frequently. It's like I have to give it an infusion of something. All right, so nutrigenomics should be on here. There we go. So you go into nutrigenomics. And it's in interpretation part two. Maybe we should just do a separate page, Lynn, for the charts and just have David make it a code thing. And it says nutrigenomics charts rather than burying it in the interpretation page, just because there's a lot of links. So when we go down here, I mean, the other option is to put it on this page, but then this page gets even longer. Or to do both, make it a separate page and then link to it from here. So here's the genetics detox interpretation and genetics methylation interpretation. So I'm going to just open these. Hopefully they open in a separate page and I'll just be able to refer back to them. This to the end. All right. So, I just wanted to show you on this one, the detox. If we go down to like here with the CYP2D6, which you didn't have, there's a link to the drugs that that particular one will detoxify. So if ever you're in doubt, you can look there, right? And then this is a little bit more detail in here on these SNPs. So you can look at those. So you had the GST, GSR, which wasn't on here because it's not done in this report. This one is based on the genetic genie reports, which are pretty short. So it doesn't have all the genes that the other ones do. But the other one I was going to look at for you is the NAT2. Okay. Again, secondhand smoke and smokers. Okay. Significantly higher risk of lung and breast cancer. And then, lots of veggies, which you already know, and the phase two, you know, the things that really support liver detoxification, important for you. But again, tobacco smoke, exhaust fumes, and heterocyclic amines. So charbroiled meats, again, and the exhaust fumes and cigarette smoke. Okay? All right. Yeah, so you've got several of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Glucuronidation is another pathway in the liver. It's not as serious because you have half and half here. But again, you know, reduce the toxic load. Reduce the toxic load is the theme here. Reduce the toxic load. And this is the sulfur. So, you know, having good sulfur, you know, foods like the cruciferous vegetables, the broccoli and the onions are important here. With the methylation, you've got the homozygous MTHFR. By the way, I've never seen anybody with a homozygous in that also has a SNP in the other. We were talking about this on a practitioner forum the other day. I think it's like 0.1% of the population. If they have a homozygous on this, that they have actually anything here. It's like a really tiny percentage. But the MTHFR is related to folate metabolism. So we already know about that, making sure that you get a lot of uncooked leafy greens and supplementation with folate if need be. This one's related to B12. You've got a couple of the heterozygous, so you might have a little bit of a decrease. So you may need more vitamin B12 than most people. It's just, you know, an issue of how. And there's a couple of others that are related to B12 that will correlate with that. BHMT, if we were to look at this pathway here, this is our cool little picture of the all the stuff. This is all the stuff we're talking about here. You don't have to memorize. I love this chart, but you don't have to love this chart. But this is methylation, and this is how we decrease our homocysteine, which is down here. I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of small. But homocysteine's here. And when you have breakdowns in these pathways, we don't recycle the homocysteine, and we get a buildup. And then the homocysteine can damage the vessel walls and the brain. The glutathione is down here. And when we have a breakdown up here, we may not be... we may not be producing as much glutathione as well, but you have one here. So this is what we call the shortcut through the pathway, BHMT, right? But this is homozygous, heterozygous over here, MTRR. I've had people which were had reds in both of these. So they're like, their methylation is shot. They are super, the canaries in the coal mine, really, really sensitive folks. You're okay there. Let's see, James needed to detox. If you had something here, it's a little bit like you're to get yourself into those detox pathways is a little bit different too. So again, reduce the toxic load, reduce the toxic load, reduce the toxic load, support your liver and all that and gut. We only have one of the five alcohol detoxification genes. So we don't know if you have some other SNPs there. But, you know, when in doubt, leave it out is my opinion.
Both my parents were alcoholics.
Your parents are alcoholics. So my guess is that there may be some others that they are no longer reporting that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine that I've inherited some from at least one of them.
from at least one of them. And, you know, sometimes alcoholism is not a genetic thing. Like sometimes we do have the genes and, you know, don't even start because you're going to end up an alcoholic. And then others, you know, it's just, it becomes that way because of life and situation and all that. I want to look at BDNF. BDNF is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And it helps your brain to develop new connections. It helps with learning, you know, and pulling the connections together. And it repairs the brains and protects it. So if you're exposed to things that are toxic to the brain, the BDNF is if the BDNF isn't working well, then you're going to have problems with repair. So some folks who have had brain injuries and they're really slow to repair, it's oftentimes we do see a BDNF. And I was talking to somebody recently who has had, you know, really slow recovery from brain injury. And I think that's a big part of it. Okay. So, you know, it just puts you at risk and we want to protect it. And some of the things you can, you know, of course, avoiding sugar and avoiding toxins of all kinds. And then, you know, doing things like exercise really helps to improve BDNF. Exercise, let's see what else is a good one. Omega-3 fats, which we've talked about before. You know, omega-3 fats are super important there. And then mindfulness and sleep. Right. So all the things we talk about as like generic stuff is more important for folks when they have some of these SNPs. The PEMT, I'm going to mention, it's related to phospholipids. Phospholipids surround the brain, surround the nerves, and they help to protect the brain and they help with transmission. And they're important in myelin sheaths, which is nerve transmission. There are some simple things, and I'm going to mention this because some of you may have these this PEMT. Is that things like lecithin, and I like to get people to add some sunflower lecithin to your smoothies and things like that, have good, that's a good source. You can eat sunflower seeds. If you eat a fair amount of them, you'll get some of the lecithin there. If people have a red in that area, I usually recommend that you supplement with the sunflower lecithin crystals, just stick them in a smoothie. It thickens it up. It's an emulsifier. It's super important. And then the FADS, it helps you to produce fatty acids, DHA and arachidonic acid. So if you're struggling, like who did we look at yesterday that had the opposite of you? No, you had good ones. Who did we look at that had that?
DHA.
Yeah. And she was super low and she's like, I'm taking it. That was Krisha. And I'm like, huh? Like why? I can't wait to see her genes and see if there's anything in there related to that particular one. You know, but she's not able to make it so well. The next section, yay, you're one of the few people that I've seen with the APOE22, which means that you protect, there's some protection there against Alzheimer's and cardiovascular. So you have some protection there. The TOM is, oh, so this one creates a protein that facilitates the transmission of nutrients in and out of mitochondria. So the why it's related to brain health is related to getting the mitochondria and producing energy for the brain. It increases Alzheimer's risk, but usually only when combined with APOE4, which you don't have. So for this one, I think again, it's, you know, your fatty acids are important. No sugar is important. Maintaining good blood sugar, all the stuff that we've talked about before. You know, anything related to brain, B vitamins are always important. And especially if you have some of those SNPs, vitamin C, et cetera, antioxidants. And you can go through more detail on this when you get these charts. You can just look up your particular ones. What I recommend when you get these charts is print them out. They are big. I mean, you probably print them on legal paper if you can, because they kind of get really small when you print them on regular paper. But if you do print them on legal paper, then what you do is you print them out and then just go through it. You don't even have to think it through. Just go through it with your genetic detoxification chart and then just mark. Like, use a highlighter, right? I've never seen a red highlighter and you can't read through it, but get a yellow and an orange, right? And the oranges make it red. And just highlight the ones that are orange for you, red for you, and highlight the ones that are yellow for you. And that way you don't get overwhelmed by, this is a lot of information. It could be information overload, but you really just have to start, focus on just the ones that are red at first. Okay, what actions can I take? And it has all the actions listed across here. Okay, like I said, not every single one is in here, but we picked the major ones from each of the categories. And we plan to at some point go back and really fill them in, but that's not happening in the short term. It's a very time consuming process, but it's very useful. And I think you're going to like it. So that's that for you up there. Sleep is okay. Let's see. SLC. I always think of that one as a receptor. I mean, your COMTs are good. Some of you are going to have reds there, and we're going to talk about being very careful with methyl forms of the vitamins. So the SLC6A3 clears dopamine from areas of the brain except the frontal lobe. And so, you know, with one of those, and you've, again, got a, here's where alcoholism comes in. You've got a heterozygous, but it leaves you with tendencies. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to have this, but the kinds of things that could result from this being out of balance with the right circumstances: ADD, schizophrenia, bipolar, depression, alcoholism. There's where the family history maybe comes from. Parkinson's, Tourette, and substance abuse. So those are some of the things. And again, you know, protecting your brain, fatty acids, you know, avoiding alcohol, avoiding smoking, etc. The other one here was GAD. They used to do all those GADs. See all these GADs? Mm-hmm. Cow, they only do one. So GAD is glutamic acid decarboxylase. It's an enzyme that will convert glutamate, which is an excitatory neurotransmitter, to GABA, which is a calming neurotransmitter, right? So people with the GADs tend to have a tendency to be a little bit more hypervigilant and get overwhelmed easily. Now, give you an example. Almost all of mine are red. The ones that aren't red are yellow in the GAD. Yep. So my tendency is to be, you know, really excitable and all. I've had to learn how to do heart math and tapping and breathing and meditation to bring it down. And I think, Carolyn, we've looked at you and gone, yeah, thank goodness you've been meditating your whole life, right? Because you have a bunch of those. DRD is a dopamine receptor. So, you know, again, you might have more of a tendency towards pleasure-seeking behavior because you can't self-soothe. Does that make sense?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, addictions like smoking, like drugs, you know, smoking marijuana helps to calm down people that have these. You don't do that, but yeah. Okay, so there was another one. Let's see if there's anything specific about DRD. Yeah, it makes the dopamine receptors. And again, can lead to the alcohol dependency stuff.
Don't do that anymore at all.
Not anymore, but you used to?
Well, occasionally. I never had a problem.
Oh, you never have had a problem with it?
No.
See, I used to go like, that was it, right? Have a drink and have the whole bottle. Why not? You know, why just stop at one? And that used to be when I was in my early 20s and teens.
Yeah, I did that.
Don't do anything. What's that?
I got sick too many times and just couldn't do it anymore.
Yep.
Keeping my guts out. So I kind of backed off on that. I do have a nice glass of wine. And I absolutely love to have a glass of champagne once in a while. But that's just a flavor kind of thing, and it's only a once in a blue moon.
But
I could definitely see how it could have been a problem.
How could it have been a problem if you didn't?
My husband was an alcoholic, and for a lot of years I drank, you know, a beer with him every night. And when we finally had to confront him to get him to stop drinking, I was afraid at that point that I may have become alcoholic myself. So I was afraid I was going to have to quit too. And that was part of my enabling his behavior, but it all worked out because I wasn't addicted, and I found out, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. But with my parents both being, and then him, and I had been drinking pretty much daily for many, many years, I was actually afraid that I might have become an alcoholic myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out I was not, thank God. But
yeah, so you could stop. But, you know, when you have that fear, like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to quit this.
That was scary.
That's a sign that, you know, maybe there's a dependency there.
Well, but I didn't know because I hadn't, you know, gone a day without drinking in years.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where, gee, what's it going to be like? But there was nothing. I wish that the smoking was that easy. Because I have not been able to get away from nicotine. Now that's one I haven't been able to separate from, but the alcohol at least was literally I just quit. And I missed the repetitiveness of coming home from work and having a beer. But other than that, I mean, it was over in a week.
That's good. Well, I had some people who I was working with, and they were at my house for an event, and they said, well, how can we just, it's just so a nice thing. We sit in the home, we relax. So I opened up a couple of bottles of Kevita, and it's a sparkling, right? And they have one that's like a red one, and one that's the ginger cayenne, whatever it is. They're the low sugar ones. They only have 1 gram of sugar. So I just poured them into pretty wine glasses for them. And I said, here, try this. And ever since then, that's what they've been doing. They come home, they sit down, they pour their Kevitas in pretty wine glasses. They sit, and it's the same situation. They just don't toxify their body.
Yeah.
It's a ritual. A lot of it's ritual, like green tea instead of coffee or whatever.
Yeah, and there's one other thing that I'm kind of curious about on this alcoholism and the genes that go with it. Could I have passed that on to my daughter? Because she died from alcoholism in less than 5 years.
You could, so, yeah. I mean, certainly that she's got a good chance. Anything that you have red, she's got, at least in yellow.
Okay.
Right? And it just depends on her dad's genes, right?
Yeah, but so this gene here that's yellow then... I would have passed that down, and then her dad could have passed her a yellow and maybe.
Well, you might not have passed it to her because you have two copies of it.
Okay.
You have, you have a good copy and a not good copy. But if you have a red, then you definitely passed it to your daughter. And she has one and maybe two if her dad had it too.
Okay.
Okay. I just want to say with the BRCA, you know, more reason to be getting off of that habit. Because of the detoxification of estrogen. So you've got that. And the BRCAs will increase your chance. Now, I'm not sure if this is the particular BRCA that everybody talks about, the BRCA A2, or if it's BRCA 2, it's different. But these are definitely related to breast cancer risk.
Okay. My grandmother got that, and that's what killed her.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just a matter of like making clear when you do your bad habits, you're putting yourself at risk. I got to stop this. Maybe just helping you to just give you one more little nail in the coffin for the habit.
Definitely. I'm thinking about all of them.
Yeah. And the SOD. So you had red SNPs in glutathione. You also have red SNPs in SOD. Those are your top antioxidants.
Okay.
And those two are super important. And I'm going to look up this FRG one. I keep looking it up, and I just don't seem to be able to memorize it. The 264, I'm going to look it up in the book because it's not on. Somehow I can't find my cancer sheet, and I could have sworn we did a cancer one, didn't we, Lynn?
Yeah.
Sworn we did.
Yeah, there is.
The FRG, yeah. So that's related to Yeah. And the immune system's ability to target and clean up debris and helps prevent DNA from being damaged. So again, that's why it's in the cancer section, because it can put you at risk of cancer.
Okay.
All right. Avoid DNA damage, limit radiation exposure, increase antioxidants. So glutathione and those sorts of things can be super important for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay. Immune system and celiac. You have heterozygous on the gluten intolerant celiac genes. So yeah, staying off of gluten is super important. CTLA is like, it's related to Hashimoto's.
Oh, and low thyroid.
Low thyroid, yeah. So it, you know, gluten is going to, when you've got this, gluten is definitely not your friend when it comes to thyroid disease.
Okay.
And the GGH, remember what that one is. Well, I'll remember all of these by the time we get through, but GGH is, 270, does it say?
No, it's G91.
270 to 278.
278, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so it's all lumped into the celiac stuff. So yeah, you definitely got to be off gluten. I don't know if it tells anything about the specific, that specific one. It's just lumped into that category.
I've been using like the like buckwheat, and I seem to be okay with that.
Buckwheat doesn't have gluten.
Right. And there's several others that are supposed to be gluten-free, but I've evidently had some sensitivities to like sorghum, and it's supposed to be gluten-free, but Brina said that it's a mimicker.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, it's in the corn family, and it definitely is a mimicker.
Oh, that's in the corn family? Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm definitely not good with corn either.
Yeah. So these are inflammation markers, and we're going to just keep going with the reds, not the yellows, because we'll be here all day. Okay. These are interleukins. Interleukins are inflammatory markers, and it's part of your immune system's protection. So I think that 294, I'm just going to look that one up real quick, unless it's on my sheet. Celiac, we have that. HLAs, did that. Let's see. That was the LRP and IL-3. I think it's just a matter of LRP. Here we go. Yeah, so it's, again, has some issues with cancer, immune system. It codes a member of the LDL receptor genes.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's one to be careful about. You know, again, with the smoking and the heart, you know, it's an increased risk of myocardial infarction. So we want to be careful about that one. FUT2, I know well, it's my not so good friend because I have like 7 of the red FUT2s. See all of them there? I have all of them.
Yeah,
FUT2 has to do with the way that your body feeds bifidobacter in your gut.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, so it's saying that you don't do a good job of that. And so you need it, but on the other hand, you don't, you know, food-wise for you in this particular case.
I don't have any. I don't have any at all, remember?
That's right.
It in there. My body's rejecting it, seriously.
Yeah.
Could this have something to do with that? Or is it just...
No, I mean, basically the FUT2 has to do with you secreting your blood type into your mucous membranes. And when the bifidobacter see that, they get fed. And when they don't get fed. It's kind of weird. And it has to do with some, it actually can help with B12, and it helps with protection against certain viruses that grow in your gut. So there's, you know, there's the double-edged sword with that one.
Okay.
So yeah, you're, you know, getting you onto whatever probiotics you can get to tolerate is a really good idea.
Yeah, we're working hard on that.
I know. And the kimchi and the non-inoculated, right? The natural ferments.
Right. We're on the natural fermented right now. We're giving my gut a chance to heal a little bit longer. I think it's going to be a week and a half or so. We're going to try the bifido again.
Okay. But we'll see how it goes, and don't rush it. You know, yeah, don't.
No.
If you can get it through food, you can get it through
the juice. And starting with that and see how we go. So... She wants to give my gut a little bit more time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is working. I'm feeling a lot better. I'm losing some of the bloating too. So,
well, that's good. This you have a little bit of the TLR has to do with some of the metabolic syndrome.
Oh, okay.
So it's one of them. We have a whole section which we'll put up for you of genes related to diabetes and metabolic syndrome and insulin resistance. We don't have it in this form because we just never got there, but I'd already done those in another format, and I'll make sure that those get loaded up to your page if you want to look at those. But, you know, related to gut and how your immune system handles getting rid. Oh, yeah. What are you looking at? Oh, you're holding it up. Yeah, how you get rid of pathogens. That may be related to some of the overgrowth in your gut. And it's the ILR. That one I don't have here. That's one of the ones we don't have here. And I want to look that one up because you have that as a red snip. So 316 is... And some of these I just have to look and go, oh, yeah, now I remember. But it has to do with making IgE antibodies, which is the immediate hypersensitivity. And having that high, that allele, that will put you at a risk for hypersensitivities, like, you know, pollen grass, strawberries, you know, things that will have an immediate hypersensitivity. So if anybody has that and you have seasonal allergies, that might explain it, and even asthma.
Oh, I have asthma.
You do? Hi. Yeah. So that might be related.
It is not the seasonal. I've only had a little bit of trouble with seasonal allergies. Not really a big deal.
What triggers the asthma?
Redwood dust. I worked in a sign shop, and my body finally hit the tolerance level with the redwood dust and said no more. And okay. Yeah, that's what triggered
You're
it.
Not around that very much, though.
No, I have to stay away from all wood dust now. Any kind of wood dust will trigger it.
Okay. All right. You know, coagulation, you're looking good. There's a couple of them, but they're just, you can read about them.
Yep.
I'm not saying you're at a high risk of clotting, but again, habits will go with that. Blood pressure, we've got the blood pressure. You've got the ACE, but yeah. it's just a heteros, and you just have one. So I'm not, you know, so concerned. But what I am is this triglycerides and cholesterol.
Yep. Yeah, especially the LDL, because that's the one I can't keep down.
Yeah, and this is fine. So it's real important that you do things to protect yourself there. And the quitting the smoking and the right kinds of phospholipids and right. Omega-3s and the things we've talked about, like niacin. You talked about a way to get niacin. Those are all going to be really important because you've got a lot of SNPs here, a lot of them, right? So you've got two reds. And you've got a lot of yellows. I mean, I think you only have two greens out of the whole shebang, right?
Everything we've done and changed has brought everything within range except for the LDL. Happy cholesterol is higher. All the other small particles, medium size, they're all within
range except the total LDL.
Getting better, right? So.
So I think you're moving in the right direction, and I think.
But even the LDL is going in the right direction. It's just not.
Not there yet.
Everything we're doing is working, and I think with the increases we decided on yesterday we'll be definitely seeing better.
Definitely moving there. And I think that, you know, we need to look at these things because when we have these genetic tendencies, we gotta beat ourselves up. Why do I have this? Why do I have that? Well, your genes are not helping, so you have to be super careful about the environment. With the nitric oxide, you know, you've got a lot of yellow SNPs here. So I'm going to just briefly talk about nitric oxide. Nitric oxide vasodilator, really important, you know, for preventing cardiac events, right? You're going to keep everything nice and dilated. It's also helpful in gut repair. So with the nitric oxide, you want to look at, there's a bunch of foods that are really supportive. And in one of our Spring Into Vitalities, the Food is Medicine one, I think that was 2017, which you guys all have access to the recordings of, there was a whole section that I did on testing nitric oxide and then foods that support it. But the ones at the top are arugula, really, really, really good. Beet greens, really, really good here. A lot of the other greens, but none of them are quite so high. And one of the things that there's a supplement, there's an herbal combination that a friend of Marcia's, we'd had him speak on a thing. We turned out he was a friend of Marcia's, and it's a really nice combination that is got some herbs that help bring it up. So I would start with the food stuff to just really focus on it. There are some strips that you can get that you can just look them up on Amazon and look it up in that spring into vitality thing. Those strips that you can get yourself. You have them?
Get some of those.
All right, so you test it. Eat some arugula, test it again. You'll be shocked. Okay. I was at a health show, a health talk thing, and there was a booth, and I'm like, oh, and he tested me, and he goes, holy cow, I've never seen anybody with such high score. He said, what'd you eat for lunch? I said, I just had a big arugula salad. He goes, oh, yeah, of course, right? So it does work, but it does go down again. So it's keeping, it's not like you take it once or you take it once a day. You keep those foods in you on a regular basis.
Well, arugula was one of the things we were able to keep going all winter long in the nursery. In fact, we just pulled the covers off, and the arugula I seeded 2 weeks ago is up today.
Beautiful.
Poke through the store. It's
beautiful. Keep eating it. Sometimes that's my whole lunch is a bowl of arugula with sauerkraut poured on top of it or kimchi. And then maybe some olives and some hemp seeds and some avocado. And that's my lunch.
That's great. I love it.
It's the beet greens. It's my so other healthy, food. Right?
I grow beets, not for the beets, but for the greens.
For the greens, yeah.
And they're up too. So, in fact, I got some that wintered over, and they're actually the greens are coming back. The beets stayed in the ground.
Fermenter beets, and they will be lower glycemic.
Absolutely, I'll try those this year. But I mostly grow for the greens. They're delicious.
Okay, so vitamins and minerals, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. D is important. You got to get your D up. You're going to have trouble getting your D up because you have some SNPs. So you're just going to have to keep upping your amount of D till you stay in that right range. Figure it out. Different dose in the summer versus winter because you're outdoors more in the summer. But D is important. The B6, you've got a little bit of a decrease in there. So if you find that, neurotransmitter pathways, et cetera, keeping your B6 rich foods up. And supplementing if you feel like you need to. I would say with this pattern, BCOM converts the beta carotene to A. So if you're eating a lot of beta carotene foods and you're turning yellow like me, it's because you have these SNPs. I can understand that when I'm like, I'm not drinking carrot juice all day. This is my new total skin tone ever since I changed my diet, which I like because I have more of a tan olive orangey glow versus the pale that I used to have. But I couldn't understand it till I saw my jeans. I'm like, I'm not drinking carrot juice all day. Why am I turning color? No, it has to do with the fact that they don't convert. But I get enough vitamin A with the amount of beta carotene foods. But still, for an insurance, I periodically take a vitamin A drop. We have to get some more because I gave my son some vitamin A because he had a viral infection and it really works well for that. But I just like maybe once or twice a month, I pop a couple of drops of vitamin A just as an insurance policy. Okay. All right. What else? Iron, you're good.
Okay. Can we go back to the zinc? Because I got a question.
We skipped zinc. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
See, I'm up to taking 75 milligrams of zinc a day. And what was it that popped up yesterday or the day before that was, the testosterone, the urine test that I did, the Dutch test.
Yeah.
One of the things had a comment about
zinc.
I needed to bring up the zinc to raise.
Oh, it was the fatty acid test, I think.
Was it the fatty acid
test? Because it's an important cofactor there. Yeah. So there's things that interfere, right? And so when you're exposed to certain toxins,
but it's not converting.
It could be, but there's also absorption issue.
Okay.
Right. So if you're interfering with that, so I would say up it. May have to just get to reach the threshold and then come back down.
Okay. So how do I need to
find your maintenance? How do you know when to come back down?
Yeah. How do you know?
When you get those test results back, like your alkaline phosphatase is in range, the Dutch test, the fatty acid test, when they all look like they're in range, you can do a functional test for zinc. A SpectraCell would have that. Or
the one where you taste test the liquid stuff?
Well, the liquid is a good way to know too. So the body bio, we talked about that. The body bio would be a good way to test it too. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I did that one. I didn't taste anything. It just plain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Water.
So you just periodically test it that way.
Okay, so when I start tasting the more metallic taste, that means that I've hit my limit, or I've
And then you keep testing it every week or so because you have to find what dose you need to take, right?
Right. Okay, so I keep my eye on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Iron looks good. Folate, we already talked about. You also have a folate receptor out of balance. B12 looks good here as far as these particular ones. But again, you have the couple of MTRRs. These are muscle repair. And some of these, I would say, when you look them up, I'll tell you what, whether you tend to be a fast twitch muscle or a slow twitch, and I don't have these memorized either, but PPAR G1A is the T, you have a CT. So you're mixed. The T allele, this is different. This is a different one. This one would tend to have you have smaller mitochondria. Okay, so less ability to make energy. The HF1A, I think, is the one. PPAR1A, yeah. So, and you can naturally increase that enzyme with endurance exercise, low carb diet, massage, and some of the supplements we've already talked about. Nothing to that GHF1. Let me see. Oh, it's on my sheet. Let me just go to my sheet. I went and looked a lot of these up. Okay, vitamin mineral, I knew those. Okay, so the muscle HF1 involved in the delivery of oxygen. You are a CC. What are you? That's the second one. The C allele is
low oxygen.
Low oxygen to your cells, yeah. So you would tend to be, would not have good endurance is what.
No, I don't. I've never been athletic.
Might be able to do quick bursts like sprints, but you're not going to have good endurance.
I do okay with the little 30-second bursts, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's your genotype.
No.
Okay. And these are related to collagen repair, the COL. I have this here. But the COL, my poor son, who's a skateboarder, I looked at his genes. I'm like, no wonder you never heal from those sprained ankles. He has a whole bunch of snips in the collagen repair.
Yeah, I don't heal well either.
Yeah, so, you know, really important to take collagen repair type stuff. Okay. So that glow protein, if you tolerate that, or the one from Sun Warrior, or just looking at the various and things that help to support collagen repair.
Okay, so that's something I should look at including in my smoothies.
Yeah, you just stick it in your smoothies. I've been doing it on a regular basis, too, because I have some of this stuff.
Yeah, I've got low back issues.
Relate to your bones as well.
I have low back issues with a disc joint. I've got the degenerative discs in my lower back, and I get I'll pull muscles in my back once in a while and get spasms going, and I'm miserable.
Yep.
So.
So with three snips in that area, then it explains that. But then you have to support yourself best.
Right. Okay. Got it. So I will be getting some of that stuff because I definitely do not appreciate being down on that. I don't like the downtime.
No, I don't like the downtime either. I don't blame you. Okay, so we're going to move on. Thank you. I hope this was helpful.
Absolutely.
Super. We're going to go to Paula.
There was also one thing I was going to ask before we even started about the ones that are red. A lot of people get it in their head that, that's like a doomed thing. Like, I'm absolutely going to have that because it's, you know, red. So the way some of the other people describe this is that just because it's red doesn't mean you're going to get that problem or that disease or whatever, but it means you've got to be more careful. So that's true. I know definitely for the yellows, but you definitely want to say the same thing about the reds.
For sure. You have a higher you have a less efficiency of those enzymes, which means that you're not going to handle things real well.
Right. It's just a like a more important alert than just the yellow is. And
but oh yeah, well, if you look at 30% saved compared to 75% decrease in efficiency.
Okay, got it. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that one because I was a little confused about that red stuff at first too.
And then, you know, it's not, it doesn't mean just because it's red that it's expressing too. Like once the gene gets turned on by like sometimes early stuff that we didn't know any better and we did, that then it's going to be really have to work hard to keep it from impacting. But sometimes, you know, you can have a pristine life and no exposures, live on the top of the Himalayas and exercise and meditate and eat good food. And none of this stuff is going to matter, you know, because it doesn't matter. You're just not expressing any of it.
Correct. Got it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Right.
Charlie Horse.
I'm going to be listening to everybody else's so I can absorb more of this stuff too.
The more you hear it, the better it is. The more I say it, the more I learn. Some of these you saw, I didn't have to look up anything. And some of them like, oh, I haven't seen that one very often. Let me look that one up. By the end, I'll probably have, you know, if there's a lot of repetition, I'll have a lot of them down. So.
Thank you, Dr. Reed Marie. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
So, Paula, yep. It's Charlie Horse. Yep. She there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there you are. It's what when you don't when you're quiet. Like my screen only holds about 5 or 6 of these, and then once you speak, it bumps you to the top. So you might have been down at the bottom, but once you speak, it bumps you to the top. So good. All right. And we've gone through a lot of this. And so before I begin, I want to make sure that there's like, are there particular questions or areas you want me to focus on?
When you and I had a conversation a couple of months ago, you talked about learning some new information about the GAD genes and them being connected to grains and being tolerant or not to grains. That was one thing you were going to learn more about.
Yeah. Okay. So the GAD, I forgot to say this when we saw some GADs. What they're finding is that we have gluten intolerance and there's a whole bunch of genes that code for that. But the GAD, we always think about the glutamic acid decarboxylase and people with anxiety and sleep disorders, et cetera. But it also is related to the body's ability to break down grains. And so people with the GAD have less, you know, depending on how many GADs and whether they're red or yellow, you're going to have less capacity to actually digest grains. Does that make sense? So you may get some responses similar to the what you'd get with a gluten by eating grains in general. Okay. Haven't, you know, it doesn't mean it's 100%, right? It just means that you need to be more careful and not make them like a huge part of your day, unless you have a lot of reds, in which case, like I have a lot of reds. I don't bother with grains. I just don't bother with them, right? And I've naturally gravitated that way even before I learned this new information. And then it's like, oh, no wonder. I just don't gravitate towards them. I don't want them. Okay. So you've got the CYP1A2s and 1B1s, which is, you know, really being careful about the caffeine exposure, being careful about, you have the A1, 1A1, so being careful about your heterocyclic amines. So charbroiled meat's not a good idea. If you're going to eat meat, just steamed or put it in, you know, in the oven at lower temperatures. And then with the caffeine, you know, you don't do caffeine anyway, so it's just no big deal, right? And the gas fumes, I just, you know, be careful about that. You probably know it already that you're sensitive to it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of these things, you look at the genes, you go, oh, no wonder, right? No wonder I had one person who was at the end. She was like the last person and she got on and she was crying. I'm like, what's the matter? She goes, you just explained my whole life. Like, I can't believe what you, because everybody would say to me, you're such a sissy. Why are you such a crybaby? Why are you this? Why are you that? She goes, it's all in my genes, right? I couldn't go to the gas station. If they went to the gas station to pump gas, I would go inside, you know, or walk away. If they want to give me Tylenol because I had a headache, I said, no, I'm not taking it. I'd rather have the headache, because she was so sensitive and it all was explained in her genes. So you got the CYPs, the 2D6 is drugs, you know, so specific medications. So it's being really careful about the medications. And those are listed on that other sheet. You know, some of them are listed on that other sheet that this one, let's see. This one. Right. The 2d6 is here. It's the CYP here. 2d6 responsible. Almost 25% of prescription drugs. So between this and the NAT. So if you had this, the 2d6 and an NAT2, which we'll see. I don't remember if you have that. That means that like 85% of all prescription drugs known to mankind, you're going to have a slow down, especially MAOs and SSRIs. There are a lot of people who come in and say, you know, I have this depression. The doctor put me on Prozac or Zoloft or whatever. And I'd rather have depression because of the symptoms that, I just can't take these medications. A lot of it has to do with this.
That was my experience, yeah.
Oops, why am I here? Is this Charlie? Okay, I had you open twice. Let me get this one out. All right, darn it. I accidentally shut it. Let me open it again. There we go. Sorry about that. So touchy. All right, and let me look down at your NATs. Yeah, and you have the NATs too. So 85% of all drugs. Your body's not going to detoxify real well. And so it's really important that you take charge of what you're doing and do what you're doing, right? And just really keep going. You're not going to have that same reaction like, I took this drug and now I feel good again. I'm fine. No, your body's going to go into another phase and go, what did I just create? But yeah, super important, the caffeine part, because that's these here and you're already doing that.
I never got attached to coffee.
So. No, that's good. I never liked it even. Never liked it. I even tried when I was working in high tech and I had to stay up all night. I can't even tolerate the taste. Again, like similar to Diana, you've got a lot of the glutathione SNPs and you're taking glutathione now, right?
I'm doing NAC now.
NAC. Yeah, the precursor, right. And the NATs we talked about, super, super careful with drugs. And, you got to know this stuff because the doctors don't. More and more, there's a new test that's been out for a couple of years that doctors can actually do before they prescribe drugs to actually test your genes and compare to what they know. They know a lot about these drugs and be able to offer them alternatives. Like, this person can't tolerate this drug. Why don't you do this drug instead? More and more they need to do it. But I heard about that test at a Future of Medicine conference last year. And it's only been out for a few years. But so I think this is the future, right? Especially little kids, right? You don't know what their genes are. And they give them these either vaccines or shots or antibiotics or whatnot in them. And then that sets the stage for disease later on in life. Like, how many of us got some of these drugs when we were kids that, here's some Tylenol or whatever. And our bodies didn't work well with it. And over again, this is causing some health issues. Glucuronidation, I'm going to pull that open because there's a really cool chart that I had made. How do I get out of that? Here. I'm going to open up ERC Home. Because I like to have that chart handy, because I made these really cool charts for you guys that will show you the different phases of liver detoxification and which nutrients and foods help support that. So as you're going through your gene chart, you go, oh yeah, here's some glucuronidation, here's some of the nutrients, here's some of the foods that I can focus on. And it's in, I think it's in a couple of places. I actually think it's in the detox here. I think it's in the detox part of here, environmental part, pretty sure. If not, it's in the deep tissue detox, but I think it's in the main program, not just in the diet environment. Here we go. Optimizing liver detoxification pathways. Okay. All right. So there's a video on it. And then there's these slides. I'm going to open up the slides. Actually, you can put this link into the chat in case you guys want to look at it. Copy. And I may keep it open. So let's see. Oh, my chat's over here. Chat. How would you remedy that? What is it? Lynn Rose asked. I'm not looking at chat, so it's really hard.
Yeah, it was something about the muscles.
Oh, yeah. The muscle repair. the collagen. Yeah. So supporting collagen synthesis, a lot of those nutrients, vitamin C and rutin and some of the other bioflavonoids are good. So this is a really nice presentation. Some of you may have already watched it as part of the Body Freedom. But the one I wanted to show you is we have phase one nutrients. So if you guys have some things that you're, you know, having problem with, then we have phase two nutrients needed. Ah, so there's a page for each of these kinds of phase two pathways or areas. So methylation, here's some of the things that it does. Here's some of the foods and the nutrients. So we're looking at, for you, glucuronidation, right? So it gets rid of a lot of things. So if you've got impairments in that pathway, you may, you know, you may have excess cholesterol, which you do, right? Because the bile acids are not being excreted as efficiently as they should be. And the bile acids attach to the cholesterol and bring it out of the body, right? So all of these things can be getting in the way. And then supporting is omega-3s, which I'm glad you just started those again. Yay. Right. Limonene from the citrus essential oil. Right. And that could be any of the citruses, and you just get an essential oil and start using that. SAMe, magnesium, and B vitamins. So this is a good adjunct chart. Lynn, would you remind, just make a note, or I'll make a note too, to put this chart, these detox charts, on the nutrigenomics page. And maybe we could just pull the slides and just pull these out so they're just there and it says, here's some things to do if you have impaired detox pathways. Would that be helpful? We have them for all. We have them for the glutathione. We have them for acetylation. You know, it talks about all the drugs and stuff that it detoxifies and how to support them.
And so for someone with issues here, it's easy to see with the inhibitors why prescribing aspirin for everyone is not a good idea.
Not a good idea. No, not a good idea at all. Not a good idea at all. In fact, I'm doing a relicensure class, certification class next week online, and it's on herbal medicine. And one of the, I just downloaded all the slides last night, and there's a whole section on cardiovascular. So I'm really excited to see if I can learn some new stuff there. And one of the big things was, do not prescribe aspirin for everybody. It doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. That's not the way you do it. This is how you do it. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, you're right. When you look at what inhibits it, if you have some inhibition or a slowdown because of a genetic factor, you don't want to be doing this, right? So, and you know, Diana, again, right? Nobody should be smoking, but you really have some genes that say, no way, don't do it, right? So yeah, so these, would these be helpful to have these on the nutrigenomics page? I just put the link in the chat. So if you want to download it now, there, I'll put it in again just in case. Okay, so where are you? Oh, here you are. Okay, so so all these pathways, you've got some issues in the sulfation, you've got some issues in the methylation. So these are all things that you can look at those charts and just come up with, okay, these are some things that I'm already doing. Okay, good. I'm already protecting myself. It doesn't mean like you go, oh no, I'm doomed because I'm already doing that. No, congratulations. You're already doing that. You're protecting yourself from the negative side effects of these things. So way to go. But if there's additional things on those charts, you just add those in. Right. There was one thing about this MTHFS that I wanted to, because I was reading about this the other day, and I think this is the one, that it's related to some of the particular forms of this. Let me see. Yeah, because this one's related to glutathione as well. So in addition to you having the glutathione SNPs, you've got this MTHFS, which also affects how your body processes glutathione. So extra glutathione and extra protection is super important. You've got the DL one too. How's your homocysteine?
It was 8 the last time checked.
Okay. Yeah. So let's see the homocysteine, getting the homocysteine a little below 8 is going to offer more protection here. So it might be, again, you have to talk to the doctors, prescribe some of your vitamins and stuff, that you need a little extra folate to help you to lower that. Either folate, B6 or B12, mm-hmm. right? So a little extra of that to bring it down. See if you can bring it down below 8. And the B6, we talked about, you're already doing B6, right? Mm-hmm. And you've taken a lot of B6. So.
I'm on a lot of B6.
A lot of B6, yeah. So I would look at seeing if increasing either the B12 or the B9 would be helpful here. If we go back to B9, yeah, we have the B9 and the B12 you've got. Oh, and this one has to do with, you're really, I'm pretty sure, I'm going to look it up again, but the adenosyl form of B12 could be super helpful in this particular case with this MUT. Yep, adenosyl cobalamin. So this enzyme is going to be maybe 80%, 75% decreased, but the adenosyl cobalamin is going to help push it. It requires that. So you may be able to get that. And adenosyl cobalamin also goes into the mitochondria, really increases mitochondrial activity as well. And if any of you, you know, if you really want to geek out with this stuff, just get this book and then look up your genes in here and see what, in addition to my charts, you know, it can give you more details.
Yeah, I got that book. I like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's real, makes it real simple and easy to do. Did we talk about Sammy the other day? Was it with you I talked about Sammy?
No, but I'm taking Sammy.
You are taking Sammy. Yeah, I think we did mention it and you said I'm already taking it. Okay. Yeah, so Sammy is important. The CBS has to do with the sulfation and it. So if you've got higher homocysteine, and you've got CBS down there. CBS takes the homocysteine down into the glutathione pathway and the B12 and folate bring it around and up. So if you've got slightly elevated homocysteine and you've got some issues with the methylation and you've got some issues with glutathione, what's probably happening is sometimes these CBSs, I don't know if you remember me talking about this before, there's a thing called upregulation or downregulation. And sometimes when you have a SNP in an area, it makes the enzyme work more, and sometimes it makes it work less. So CBS, the C699T, oftentimes it causes the enzyme to work more. And so we sometimes see people with low homocysteine as a result of the CBS activated. In your case, it's hard to tell, right? Unless you were to do some other tests, but it's basically you need. You have homocysteine. You need B6 to bring the homocysteine down. And you need this B6 and a functioning CBS enzyme to bring the homocysteine down into the pathway that makes glutathione. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think keeping up with the B6, you know, a lot of times we get tired of taking something. You know, why do I have to keep taking it? I think it's indicated by your genes. So it is something you should be, you know, considering taking on and on. Okay?
Oh, yeah. I'll always take B6, yeah.
You will. And then, you know, again, this is a tough one because the genes necessary to initiate your detox pathways are slowed down, and then your detox pathways themselves are slowed down. So you're going to be more of the canary in the coal mine, and that's just the way it is. And so reducing toxic load, taking supportive supplements, eating supportive food, it's just what you do, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes we get frustrated and we just don't want to keep doing this. Why do I have to do it? And this person over here doesn't have to do it. This explains it, right?
Right.
Yeah. The PON1 has to do with exposure to pesticides and herbicides. So if you have that SNP, then the pesticide and herbicide exposure is going to have more of an effect on your cardiovascular system. So it's super important that, you know, even if it's more expensive, even if it's less convenient, that the organic is worth the investment.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then alcohol, you don't do. Just stay away from it. Not going to detox it very well. BDNF and the PEMT. So have we talked about phospholipids before with you on?
Yes. So
phosphate, you know, important, the BDNF, you know, exercise. And I know you're good at doing your treadmill and walking and other stuff like that. So really important for the BDNF to protect your brain. And you have had some issues, right? So a lot of this is, why am I having to work so hard to get this thing online? It's because of this stuff. So you just have to work harder and find those connections. As far as BDNF, let me look up BDNF again. I got my pages out of order now. Here we go. BDNF helps you develop new health risks for cognitive decline, depression, neurologic disorders, introversion, learning difficulties, impaired motor skills. So those are some of the things, not necessarily you have all of them, but that's, you know, that puts you at that risk. And of course the sugar, which you're already doing, the low glycemic, and staying away from the heated and processed fats. That's important. Your omega-3s are going to be important. And exercise and sweat. So if you have access to a sauna, that could be a good thing to do as well, or just exercise to the point of sweating. Yeah. And of course, mindfulness, which I know you're doing. And sleep is big. Sleep is important. And I know you're having trouble with sleep, but sleep is important for this. So the more we can, you know, get that sleep, I know it's gotten better in the last couple of years, but
right,
still not perfect. You, wow. How do I get two APOE 2/2s all in one?
I'm a 3/3.
Why is it showing a 2/2?
When it's green, it means you don't have either one of those. All of my reports say I'm 3/3.
Interesting. Interesting. I've been reading this wrong. If you look at the strategy, and that's what it says, is 3/3.
Yeah, they all say 3/3. The original green is 3/3. Metabolic healing.
I'll say you're 3/3.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm just going to see what she says in this book, because I was just going by assuming.
Diana said all of her reports say she's 3/3.
All of her say she's 3/3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. APOE4, unless these guys are interpreting it wrong. Having risk alleles for both APOE4 and APOE2, risk allele 2. So, APOE2, the risk allele is T, and you've got, say you have CC. So they're interpreting it wrong. They're interpreting it wrong. Okay, and it's good to know. I'm going to have to research this and do some changes because they're saying that that's good. You don't have risk alleles in either one.
Right.
Okay, so you're a 3/3. You know, and 3/3s have to be a little bit more careful about the saturated fat, not like a 4/4. Twos are protective, mm-hmm. Right? So I would have expected this to show, this would have shown red on the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have 3/3. I would have seen right on the two. Anyway, I've got to go back and research that. But with a 3/3, twos are protective, right? So if you have any two, I have a 2/3. You have a 2/3. So I've got that protective. I should pull up mine and see what mine shows on here. But I'm just going by the strategy and all that. The two protects, and so the four is dangerous. So a 3/3 is kind of like, you know, it's not as bad as a 4/4. It's not as bad as a 3/4, but there's just not the extra protection. 3/3 is actually the most common, and it's actually considered to be more neutral. So, BBB. Make sure we cover all your brain, Alzheimer's risk. Where's my Alzheimer's risk sheet? Oh, I got them all out of order. There we go. Had them in perfect order when I was going through Diana's. All right, so the B, I want to look up the APB. AB, CA, and the CLU. Okay, let's go to the CLU first. Yeah, so fewer and weaker myelin sheaths. which, you know, that combined with the PEMT means that the phospholipids are super important to help support that. You know, and all the things we talked about, and you've got that, all the check marks on the list. And then the P8, here we go, amoeba. Codes of protein that interacts with an amyloid precursor and with a G, which do you have? Increases the risk of Alzheimer's. So really important is the avoidance of exposures to toxins, the low glycemic diet, avoiding the sugar, omega-3s, all the stuff we've talked about is more important here for you to keep protection. And, you know, read the book, The End of Alzheimer's. It's like he's reversing Alzheimer's by approaching it from this standpoint. So, of course, if you can reverse it, then preventing is better. And I think a lot of the stuff you're doing, I don't know of anything in particular that I would do differently than what you're already doing. But it just makes it more important for you to, you know, avoiding charbroiled meats and, you know, lots of green leafy vegetables, mindfulness, sleep, et cetera, omega-3. So all the stuff that we've been talking about, super important for you in the prevention of Alzheimer's. And I don't want anybody to get this feeling like, oh my God, I've got these SNPs, I'm screwed. No, you're not. You're knowing about it. Just helps you to be a little bit more mindful of the habits that maybe we're talking about that you're not so good at, right? It's just like, okay, now I really have to do this. And interestingly, that AANT is a sleep-related gene. Mm-hmm. And you don't have it, right? So the lack of sleep is not so genetic. COMTs, we've talked about COMTs and MAOs, make you more prone to hypervigilance and, you know, anxiety. Mm-hmm. The SLCs are related to the dopamine, I believe. SLC6, clearing dopamine, right? Clearing dopamine from the prefrontal cortex. So, you know, a tendency towards depression, panic disorders. I don't know that you've had all-out panic disorders, but you have a tendency to have had or have a little bit of anxiety, right? So the same thing with that is all the same stuff, right? It's really, really nutrient-wise, I would say you've done organic acids and we've addressed some of those issues there. So a lot of this stuff you've already done, but the big one is the phosphatidyl. You haven't had a good response to phosphatidyl serine though, right? You've tried that at bedtime and it doesn't work well.
Right.
Yeah. So I would just stick to the phospholipids in the natural food form and getting it in the sunflower lecithin would be a good way to do it. It's not high, super high in phosphatidyl serine. It's high in choline, but it's at least providing you with those phospholipids.
Right.
The GADs, right? Mm-hmm. So grains, right? Avoiding grains and, GABA, having that tendency. So you had your test done a while ago. So you have all these to show, right? Diana had one and the rest of them were not genotyped. The DRD is dopamine receptors. Yeah. So a lot of this is just saying, confirming that, you know, there's stuff here that we have to work on. And I think that there's not a lot of new stuff that we're going to add. Let me just look up this ANK. I forget what that one is. ANK is a dopamine receptor, right? So your dopamine receptors, you have dopamine receptor issues, which means that you may be making plenty of dopamine, but the receptors aren't able to pull it in, right? And all the fats and the phospholipids are really important for any kind of receptors, whether it's hormone or neurotransmitter receptors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What else do we have? So you don't have any of the bad cancer risk stuff, which is good. SOD, you've got yellow. So again, antioxidants, super important. SOD, there are creams that you can do for SOD. You're yellow, you might want to try it and see. Catalase is another one. So the three main, glutathione, catalase, and SOD, you've got red SNPs in your glutathione and you've got your home heterozygous, your yellows in the catalase and the SOD. There is OxyCell. Do you know about OxyCell? Have we talked about that?
I think you mentioned that.
Sometime. I think I'm going to mention it. Apex. It's a good cream because it's a topical form of SOD catalase, glutathione, and then some, you know, some other herbs and stuff that can be protective. So it might be worth investigating. Okay, I'm going to go down and just skip to some of the, unless something stands out at me. You know, gluten, you've got a you've got the heterozygous for gluten intolerance.
Yeah, here's celiac, so.
Yeah. Yeah, not surprising. So autoimmune and inflammation, that you had a lot of issues here with inflammation and autoimmune, but we don't have any specific autoimmune diseases that you've had a diagnosis for, correct?
Just the celiac,
right. That's true. Let me just look up this IL-13. I think it was the same one I just talked about. I'm going to make sure I remember what that is. I wish somebody was here to put my pages back in order. I'm like the mad professor. I go, don't actually, there you go. Autoimmune and inflammation. Yeah, you got a lot of these. And I think it's important, you know, the things that are anti-inflammatory are super important for you. Like if you tolerate ginger and you tolerate turmeric and boswellia and omega-3s and vitamin C and bioflavonoids and all the things that you can do and create that anti-inflammatory diet lifestyle, super important for you.
Right.
Autoimmune. I'm just going to look at this one.
And I do have seasonal allergies, so that's in the autumn.
That would be, which one was that? That was here, that down here. You do have some of that as well. Yeah. Yeah, so celiac, that 4Q27 is also related to celiac and other autoimmune diseases. The ATGL related to overall increased inflammation, and then Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. So less ability to also destroy bacteria and viruses. So more of a tendency to have like your gut stuff perhaps is related to lack of having that ability to really kill off those in an effective way. Mm-hmm. The IL-5 and 6, you had an IL-5. Why is IL-5 not listed here? Yeah, just inflammatory cascades. Like all of these are related to inflammatory cascades. IL-13. Why is IL-13 not listed here? Interleukins, they're a part of the inflammation, cytokines and things that are going to fight inflammation. So it's really being careful with all of that stuff. And the FUT2s, we've talked about this before, where the bifidus is so important.
Right.
Allergies and hypersensitivities, so seasonal allergies may be related there. As far as cardiovascular, see, you have no matter what, you tend to eat really well, but your cholesterol stays high.
Yep.
It's a genetic thing. So all the other factors that we've talked about to protect you, the nutrients and the careful eating and all that, it just explains some of that. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this KNG one. Let me see. Clotting. I'll look that one up real quick. There's the celiac, blood clotting. KNG plays a role in coagulation and clotting, and just increases your risk for clotting. So again, you know, keeping the omega-3s are super important because they keep your blood thin. You could consider something like nattokinase if you wanted to, just as a, you know, preventative to thin, and it actually breaks down clots. You don't have high blood pressure. You have in the past, though, right?
No,
you haven't. Okay,
just the white coat kind at the doctor's.
The white coat kind at the doctor's, right? Which means under stress in general, you probably get right. Your blood pressure goes up. Mm-hmm. So, and the cholesterol. These are the definitely the markers for those LDLs. So it explains kind of what your test is showing. And it just means that it's really important that we get that under control. I just think the fatty acids, I'm so glad you decided to do it because it just feels like those are important for you. Nitric oxide, you know, like we talked about before, arugula and the beet greens and a lot of the greens. And there's a chart in the SIV thing. I should bring that up too. I'm going to open this in a new tab and I'll bring that list up. But, you know, the arugula is important in a lot of your green leafies and just keeping the levels of nitric oxide up is important. Let's see, spring into vitality. Where is it? Spring into, you were at that one, the spring into vitality where we did food as medicine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's here somewhere. There you go. Yeah, so you guys, if you don't know, you have access to all of our old the videos, but also a lot of the handouts. And the handouts are totally amazing from all of these conferences. But the 2017 was Food as Medicine, and the 2016 was Assessments. We did talk about nitric oxide at both of those. And you can take a look at some of that stuff in the digital materials. And schedule, here we go. I think there was one, the benefits of leafy greens. There was one for cardiovascular, I thought. We talk about nitric oxide. I could have sworn we had nitric oxide in here. With this tracking to Zeronis, alkaline diet.
There is actually a Vital Healing Kitchen show you did. I think it was you.
Oh, yeah, there was a whole Vital Healing Kitchen show on nitric oxide, too.
Yeah.
I watched that because I had some fun recipes. I had Lindsay on there.
Yep, exactly. She also talked about PQQ with parsley.
Yeah. You might want to go there and look at that. So look at the Vital Healing Kitchen. It was probably a couple of years ago. Nitric oxide. We had a whole show on it. For those of you who have that. Thank you for reminding me of that, Lynn. Let's see what your repairs are. B6, you're already doing that. The D, like, just keep doing it and keep it in the optimal range. The A, you have a couple of BCMO1s, you know, periodic test, taking it, you know, once a month or whatever. You don't have to take it all the time. Zinc, you know, zinc and B6 is the stuff that we've been trying to get your levels up for. Mm-hmm. Iron, a little bit of impairment. I'm not a big fan of iron supplementation in postmenopausal women, just because it can, and in men, because it can increase the oxidation. So
my iron is high.
Yeah, your iron is high, so I wouldn't expect that to be a problem. B9, we already talked about B9. And remember I said about the homocysteine? It might more likely be the B9 than the B12, just based on the SNPs that you have here and the SNPs that you have up in the methylation for B9. Okay, let's see. Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
Repair. Yeah, so really reinforcing that the collagen repair process is super important, making sure that you're getting enough protein and absorbing enough protein. I think you get enough protein. And stomach acid is something we're working on, right? And look at, if you want to consider one of those new, the collagens. I'm really not a big fan of, people say bone broth, but I'm really concerned about bone broth just because of the lead. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about the concentration of lead. There might be some good collagen protein ones, but you really have to be careful of where they're sourcing it, because animals concentrate toxins in their tissues. Whereas the Sun Warrior and the Glow, they're just from plants. They're just like plants that are high in these collagen support nutrients, and they easy addition to throw some in your smoothies. And then the HF, these are just related. You can look those up. They're just related to whether you're a fast twitch, slow twitch, whether you have more endurance or sprint capabilities. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Any questions?
No, probably not that we can address here. When you and I talked about all this a couple of months ago, you were getting into Dr. Stickler's program, and you had learned about a case study of his with someone who had high cholesterol and had resolved it by going into the genetics and doing some things. you were going to check into that and get back to me, but you didn't. So,
all right, I will look at that. I kind of got into that and then I got distracted with other projects, so I haven't really gone back to that. I did look this morning because I saw Lynn's note about that. Yeah. And he doesn't have a separate cardiovascular section. So I'm having to look back and see if I can find the slides where he showed that case study. And I will look at that. I have a note to myself to do that.
Okay.
Because it was a good case study. And it was like, whoa, look at what she did. And we wouldn't have expected that to have reduced her cholesterol so much. Mm-hmm. And now I'm drawing a blank as to exactly what it was that she did.
I think part of it was the getting off grains, the GA. The GAD.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was part of it. But
that was part of it.
I'm not grains, so that doesn't apply.
You don't do grains anyway.
No. Yeah.
I'll look back at it because I think there were some other things. And like I said, it was one of those webinars where I'm like taking notes feverishly. And then I just said, I'm going to just do this program. And then I got through the first two modules and then haven't gone back. But I went this morning to see, I'm just going to go in the cardiovascular module, and it wasn't there. So I'm going to have to find where he did that presentation. It might be in one of the introductory ones.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And there's a whole section on sleep. I can't wait to go through too, because he's really focuses on the epigenetics, not just like, here's your genes. Now, what do you do? He has a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah. He had told me that I definitely had genetic issues for sleep. It's not real obvious on this particular report, but he had gotten into other genes.
Showed
that I have issues there.
So. Yeah. Well, you did. I mean, if we look back at your sleep ones, but it wasn't the one I was expecting you to have.
Yeah, right.
ANC one. Where are we? AANT. Where are we? Sleep, yeah, the AANT, but you do, I mean, and COMTs and MAOs will definitely relate. All of these will relate to sleep for sure. GADs can, because of, you know, not having enough GABA to shut down the cycles. So you definitely do. It just wasn't the one I was expecting. It was like, oh, that one is very specific to sleep, but it's more the neurotransmitter balance in general. Okay?
Yes, right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So next, does anybody need a break? Holy cow. We gotta speed this up. Anybody need a break? Want to take a 15-minute break? Or have you guys been breaking all along? Because I don't need a break. Okay. Nobody said yes, so I'm just going to go. Carolyn.
Keep going.
Keep going? Okay.
Yep.
Carolyn. Again, we've gone through this, you know, one-on-one, but are there specifics that you want us to really go over? Like areas that you're like needing more clarification on? Yeah, we talked about the caffeine. We talked about the heterocyclic amines. Medications, right? We talked about medications really to be careful about. 2E2s are... Grab the 2E2s. Now I'm not remembering what the 2E2s are because we haven't done those yet today. There we go. 2E2 is.
First 2E2.
Yeah, you've got. You know, they're really lumped together. They're just different variations. Usually they're about the same, except the MTHFR. So you have the 1-2E2, the D2D.
Well, I don't know where you are. Where are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you see my page?
Yeah, but can you put the pointer on where you are?
Oh, sure. 2E2.
I'm not seeing it. Where?
See here?
Oh, the 2E2, the where it's red. Okay.
Yeah, well, the D6 is red, but the 2E2 is you've got a bunch of them. That's why. So I'm going to be going over like the reds, but also if there's a grouping, a bunch of yellows, the bunches of them will increase the likelihood of having an issue there. So this was metabolizes ethanol. You don't do acetone, acetyl. A lot of times I catch people and I go, well, they never got exposed to these things, but do you wear nail polish and do you use nail polish remover? And I, you know, as much as nail polish is cool, I wouldn't use it because you have to take it off. with nail polish remover, and acetone is not a good thing. Benzene, you know, a lot of different chemicals, ethylene glycol, it's antifreeze. And that's in a lot of supplements, by the way. So we really have to read our labels carefully. I've seen ethylene glycol in supplements. Nitrosamines, right? So those are all the things that you just want to be careful about. It's really the stuff you're already careful about, right? Exposures to toxins and non-good chemical foods. You have the glutathione issues. We talked about that. And you said you were taking glutathione, right?
I'm not taking glutathione. And I want to ask you before you jump over to the next thing. You mentioned a cream called OxyCell. What is the company is
that? Oh, Apex Energetics.
Apex. Yeah.
And that has the glutathione, catalase, SOD, plus some other nutrients, some other herbs and stuff.
So that, do you recommend that product? I'm not taking glutathione.
I'd say it's a good product, and I like it that it's topical and it gets absorbed well, and I've seen really good results with people. A lot of people with Hashimoto's take it. Well, and a lot of times you can actually rub it over areas that have inflammation and see some inflammation go down.
So do you get it directly from the company or what?
Yes. I can't remember if any of ours, I don't think Welladay.
No, but I think it's in Dr. Supplement Store.
In Dr. Supplement Store, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could probably get an account with them because you're a practitioner. I mean, you have a license, right? So call them up. I mean, they don't, you know, you're just going to get the account there. There's certainly supplements that they sell that work on animals. Maybe not the cream. That might not work too well on the furry critters, but you could probably get your own account and get a wholesale account.
Right. I do that sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. On the NAT, again, you know, drugs, you know, like you just being careful and you don't do that.
NAT too. Yeah, I don't really take drugs.
So. No, but it's good to know, you know, so you can put your hands up if anybody says, oh, you need this. No, I don't, because I don't do drugs because of these genes.
I just don't do them, period.
Periods, right. It's just, yeah. So glucuronidation, I showed the chart here from with Paul, and I put the link in there. So it's looking at those particular the glutathione.
That's another reason to add glutathione, right?
Glutathione can be important for glucuronidation, but they are separate pathways.
Oh, it's separate. Okay.
Yeah, and this is where the omega-3s and the limonene and SAMe magnesium B vitamins come into play.
I don't take SAMe. I do think I should take it.
Let's look at the rest of it and see.
Okay, because I don't take it. But
yeah, let's look at the rest of it and see. I don't remember if you have any of the SAMe pathways busted. Where did it go? Oh, here we go.
Sulfur detox? I don't
know. Where are we? Sulfur. Glucuronidation, sulfation. Yeah, you have some issues with the sulfation. If we look at the slides related to sulfation. You know, sulfur, right? So things like the brassicas, garlic and onion are good sources of sulfur. Glutathione, this is another one that points to glutathione. And then MSM, if you've ever taken MSM, that's another one that's related to sulfur.
I don't take garlic and onions because it, from an Ayurvedic standpoint, it interferes with meditation. So I have what were the other
you don't things? Need everything here, right? It doesn't mean that you need everything here.
So that like broccoli and...
Yeah, all your brassicas, right? Broccoli and cauliflower and kale and arugula and even things like rutabaga, and there's all the brassica stuff is just important.
But it's cabbage too, right?
Cabbage, yep. Brussels sprouts, kohlrabi. There's probably a list in here of all the sulfur foods.
Okay.
Foods helpful for detoxification, foods that support phase two. Here's a list of the different foods. Great, there's pictures in here.
Right.
Yeah, you have that link, so. Let's see. Oops. Where'd we go? Here we go. Yeah, your methylation, B9, you know, making sure, and you know that, you take a supplement. We talked about that the other day, and that's important. The same thing with the B12. Sammy, yeah, maybe Sammy.
Where are you seeing that?
See this methylation Sammy synthesis? Let's see. Let me see if that MAT1A is, that's page 109. Okay. It helps the body make the enzyme that converts methionine to SAMe. So in the genetic pathway, if we look here, right? This is homocysteine gets converted to methionine and then gets converted into SAMe. So the MAT one is right in here from methionine to SAM to SAMe.
Oh, so it's I don't have enough to do that.
Yeah.
So I should take which form do you like?
I don't have any particular favorites on SAMe. I mean, all the good companies, right? You look at Premier, you look at Thorne or Seeking Health, and see if they have a SAMe. But yeah, definitely, you've got two heterozygous and one homozygous. And the ADK, it's related to methylation. Uh-huh. And it's related to, so it's again related to SAMe. So in that pathway again, go back to that pathway, it's over here converting the SAMe, and it over converts, it sounds like, to the SAH.
So
it inhibits the body's ability to make SAMe.
Okay.
Yeah, so you got a number of them. I'd say probably SAMe is a good thing for you.
Okay.
And then again, you know, just like Paula, you know, like the canary in the coal mine, right? You have a SNP that slows down the initiation of detox. You may be exposed to chemicals and your body's just like, it's just sluggishly trying to chug along.
The NAR
112? Yeah, the NR 1I2.
Okay. Just avoid toxins, essentially.
Exactly. Just reinforces what you already know. Same thing with pesticide. PON1 relates to breakdowns of pesticide, but it's related to its implications in heart disease.
Oh, it affects the heart if you're...
So, yes, exactly. So it's important, again, avoid the toxins, you know, reduce your toxic load, protect yourself. The alcohol detoxification, you have a couple of heterozygous, you don't drink much anyway, right? Yeah. BDNF, again, you know, we have a lot of BDNF issues here, right? BDNF, that brain protective neurotrophic factor. Your exercise is super important. Your omega-3s are super important to protect that. I think we talked about the phospholipids the other day. I can't remember how far.
No, we didn't actually. So I do have a question about that.
Yeah.
Sunflower lecithin, and I was using it a couple years ago, and then for some reason I thought there was something in my genetic report that said actually that I wasn't supposed to use it for some reason. I don't know. I started it. I actually liked the way it tasted, and there was some other SNP that was some reason for me not to take it. As I recall, and I don't remember.
Yeah, not that I know. I mean, you got two homozygous PEMTs, which
right.
suggests to me that you need it.
Right, but is it what would be a reason not to take it? Because I don't know why I'm remembering this, but
what would be a reason? I can't think of any reasons not to take it.
Because I have a giant bottle of it. I think I bought it maybe a year ago. I don't know how long it stays good. It looks like the expiration date's like 10 years down the road.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it should last. I usually keep mine in the fridge. I keep my sunflower lecithin in the fridge. Anything that's fatty, I keep in the fridge.
How long does it last? Because I think I've had it in...
You've had it in the fridge? I've had one.
No, I've had it in the closet, but it's cold. So.
It's cold, yeah. Well, you used to live in Austin, though, that. Oh, no, you've been there for a year.
Yeah. How long do they last? Because it's hard, when I'm looking at the expiration, it's hard. I don't even know if I'm reading it right. It's like.
I would think you could keep it a couple of years. I mean, my guess. I wouldn't. Dip, taste it and see if it's gone funny, if it tastes rancid or off.
I just now tasted it in between.
Yeah. It was good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fine then.
Okay. I just throw it in my smoothie. I like the way it tastes.
Yeah, it's easy to throw in your smoothie. It thickens it up. It makes it, it's, you know, sometimes when you make a smoothie and let it sit, the water separates everything. It keeps it together. So it's good. It's good for making nut milks too. By the way, you know, it helps nut milks not to separate. So it gives it a creamy consistency without having too much fat. All right. You've got the IDE for the Alzheimer's risk. IDE. Look that one up.
I mean, my dad's brain wasn't so great when he looked at
it. Your dad had what?
I said my dad's brain was kind of not really working all that well.
Yeah, so you know, you probably inherited, well, you definitely inherited that one from him.
Yeah, my mom's actually good.
Well, it breaks down insulin and amyloid plaque. Hoo-hoo. Maybe why you're, you know, so sensitive and have to be so careful with your glycemic index of foods. So that will predispose you to Alzheimer's and insulin resistance.
He had a type 2 diabetes.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bluebell ice cream.
So you definitely, your mom had at least one of them. Your dad, my guess would be, given he had that manifestation, is he probably had the homozygous like you do.
Yeah, he had heart disease too, so.
Yeah.
So the IDE is, how does that relate to?
It codes for the enzyme that breaks down the both insulin and amyloid plaque. So that's one of the things that Bredesen discovered, and he wrote in his book the End of Alzheimer's, was that it's the same enzyme that breaks down insulin and breaks down amyloid plaque. So if we're eating a lot of high glycemic foods, we're producing a lot of insulin, then we're taking away from the brain's ability to break down the amyloid plaque, which then contributes to Alzheimer's, which is, you know, that.
Oh,
that.
So the amyloid plaque ends up in the brain.
Yes, the amyloid plaque is in the brain, and that's what, you know, the buildup of amyloid plaque contributes to Alzheimer's.
So basically don't eat sugar, which I don't really.
Yeah. Yeah. And really just keep that glycemic control. You may get out of like, oh, I'm not going to test for a while, but periodically keep an eye on it because it's easy for it to get out of hand.
I pretty much eat the same stuff over and over. I know what doesn't work.
Well, if you know what works, it's good, right? Yeah. Because you have a lot of these genetic tendencies and you want to minimize the risk. Right?
I don't need a list when I go to the grocery store. I just get the same.
That's easy. You just pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. All right. The MAOs, you know, this is all the stuff we talked about before. Meditate, meditate, meditate. Keep doing your meditate, your spiritual practices.
That's really the only thing for that, right?
It's critical.
Well, I do it, yeah.
Yeah, it's critical. You got the MAOs, you've got the SLCs, you've got all that's dopamine receptors. The dopamine receptors, again, you've got some GADs, right? So you've got a lot of things that would make you a basket case. And we look at you and go, oh, she's so sweet and calm, right? That's because she meditates and she does spiritual practices and she takes care of it because she wouldn't be this way if she wasn't, right?
I was that way before I started.
You were more anxious and all that, right?
My mom was a wreck, yeah.
And your mom was a wreck, yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is the way, and I have a lot of these too, guys, by the way. I have the GADs, I have MAOs, I can't remember if I have the DRDs, but I have that too, and it's really important to me to have my meditation every day, to do my heart math, because I could be an overwhelmed basket case if I wasn't, and my whole family is, you know. I've got sisters and brothers, and they're on medication. They're on blood pressure medication, they're on cholesterol, but they're on anti-anxiety medications and antidepressants. And I'm the oldest and I'm on nothing, right? So it just says that we really need to take control of this stuff. I mean, my sister goes crazy over just little things like worry, worry, worry. There's a tornado coming in. They said there's a tornado watch. Are you okay? Like, yeah, I'm okay.
That's totally my mom. That's it. I can't tell her anything because she wants to go straight to the worst case scenario.
The worst case scenario, right? And that's what we have to do.
So the CANA, whatever.
Oh, the CACNA was the, that's in the Alzheimer's, just it's asleep.
That's the one for the sunflower lecithin, right?
No, it's a PEMT is for the sunflower lecithin.
Phospholipids are what? Is
it, phospholipids are, they're a combination of phosphorus with a lipid, and they tend to protect the brain, seriously protect the brain, and the myelin sheets are important for the transmission along the myelin sheets. Here we go.
What do you take for that? Is meditation, or is it something you're supposed to take?
I'm looking. I'll look in the book. I can't find it on my sheet. Now that I got my sheets all out, we're going to have to take a break so I can put my sheets back in order. And I don't mean the bed sheets. 221. I wish I could remember all of these.
Well, you have a pretty good memory.
Okay. CNC. Oh, calcium channels, which play a pivotal role in the electrical signal. So the signaling, like the nerve signaling throughout the body and the brain. That's what the CANC. The risk is bipolar, schizophrenia. And what do you do? Support brain health, right? All the things we talked about, the phospholipids, the omega-3s, B vitamins.
Which phospholipids?
That's the phospholipids is in the sunflower lecithin.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And
fish oil and what else?
And the phospholipids, fish oil, and B vitamins. Those are your main protective. And, of course, avoid the toxins and meditate and do all that kind of stuff. Lots of veggies, blood sugar balance. Avoid toxins, right? All of that stuff. And this is where I was trying to convince you to get off your, what was it, the caffeine, right? Because of the...
Which one is that?
You have the CYP, which is the same pathway of estrogen detoxification and...
What page where are you?
I'm on the bottom of page 6.
Bottom of page 6.
Okay. Yeah, you've got the BRCA,
yeah,
one of them.
What? Oh, stop caffeine because why?
And the caffeine, well, because you have multiple risks for a decreased detoxification of estrogen. And I don't recall off the top of my head what your status was on your Dutch, whether you had.
It was interesting. It was too high.
Oh, it was too high because, yes. But
I had just done a blood test 6 weeks before that, and it was showing kind of low normal. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how to. And it was on a little bit higher dose of progesterone. So I don't really know.
Well, the blood test just tests estradiol. It doesn't test everything.
Well, right. It tested two forms of estrogen, I think.
It did. Estradiol and estriol. Not estriol.
And they were both low. They were both towards a low end of normal. So that's why I was confused. Why did it look so high on the Dutch test when it was normal? Low normal, and the application site is where you urinate. So that was done the day before, 24 hours before. But I'm wondering, could there have been some?
Could there have been some cross? It's possible, but the blood is usually done with protein bound.
Yeah, but I'm just, the levels were so dramatically different.
I've seen that before.
On the Dutch test and on the blood test, which was literally 6 weeks before, pretty much the same dose. It wasn't even close to being high.
They're measuring two different things, though. So the blood test is measuring protein-bound hormones, which is not the active form. The urine test is measuring the free form of the hormones.
Right, but
and so the free form is what's actually going to affect your tissue. The protein-bound, not necessarily. So if you have protein-bound is low and the free form is high, that's not unusual.
Okay, because it just made me question if it was because of the route of administration.
Maybe. I mean, it's certainly possible, but they say 24 hours should be enough to stop, right? You stop to 24 hours in advance.
Yeah, it's just, but they're so dramatically different, those two.
It's certainly, and 6 weeks apart, and certainly, and you didn't change dose in between.
No. The only thing I did was decrease a little bit on the progesterone, but that was it.
It's certainly worth a chat with Lynn. Write that down in her notes that we'll look at making a call to precision analytics and seeing if they have any explanations. But my explanation is they're measuring two different things.
Well, but I'd like to know more because it's okay. So dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So how will I find out about that? Will someone get back to me or?
Yeah, give us, we have to do a reminder. Lynn, will you write a reminder?
Is she still there? Or?
Oh yeah, I'm here. Yeah, no, I wrote the note in your notes and then I wrote myself a note.
Okay, we'll contact Precision maybe on Monday.
I didn't think of it when I was on the phone with you, but I thought of it afterwards when I looked at the test and I went, wait a minute, because we were going over that. So it just doesn't, I don't know. I need to know.
Yeah, okay, we'll find out for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. 27, let me look at this.
Where am I?
We're on page 7.
So the RAD?
Yeah, the RADs are the one I'm looking up right now because I think that's page 239. And repairing DNA and preventing DNA damage. So, yeah, I know we talked about this once before, right? You should do the x-rays on animals and not protect your thyroid, and that kills your thyroid, you know, hurt your thyroid. It's really super important to avoid radiation.
Well, I'm not doing that at all anymore.
Now you don't do any at all, right?
X-rays anymore, but I was around it for...
You were around it for a while, right? So, you know, just improving your antioxidant status. So I think that OxyCell would be helpful. Given you have low antioxidant status, of course, limiting radiation exposure, which you're doing, lots of antioxidants, sleep, which I know you are sleeping, right?
Yeah, I've been actually sleeping better since that mouth tape stuff. I mean,
cool.
Yeah, a couple hours more than I did at night. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Stress, which we talked about, high quality diet, good foods, good oils, good fats. Healthy weight, you're at a healthy weight, avoid testosterone. So a lot of the stuff you're already doing. So the extra antioxidants, I think, would just, if you feel like you want that extra protection, I think is
but
a good
the OxyCell is something I'm not doing.
Yeah, that would be good. The other thing is, you know, the cruciferous with the sulforaphane. So if you're...
Some cabbage into my smoothie or something like that.
Yeah, so you do them raw, or if you're going to cook this cruciferous, do the trick of chop them, let them sit for 45 minutes and then cook them. Because the myrosinase enzyme, which converts into sulforaphane, it gets killed by heat and it gets activated by cutting, like so chewing. When we take a raw cruciferous and we chew it, we're breaking down, we're exposing and we're activating the myrosinase and we're creating the sulforaphane. The sulforaphane doesn't get destroyed by heat, but the myrosinase does. So if you're going to cook your cruciferous, you chop them up beforehand, 45 minutes, let them sit in the pan, do something else while you know, whatever. And then you steam them. Then you cook them. And you're going to get much more sulforaphane, and it's going to be much more protective. Broccoli sprouts tend to be the highest source. If you want to add some extra, you can get some broccoli sprout powder and throw it in your smoothies.
Where do you get that?
Oh, Z Natural Foods. And it's very bland. It doesn't have a taste, so it's not going to wreck the taste of your smoothie.
I don't really care what it tastes. If it tastes like dirt, I would swallow it.
That's good. Okay. So yeah, it's easy. It's so easy. Just stick it in there. You get the extra. And then, because broccoli sprouts are good, but you don't always get them. They're not always, you know, we find that we're not always able to get them all year round.
Okay.
Okay. 251.
Does Amazon have it, or I have to go straight to the natural?
Say it again.
Does Amazon have that, or I have to go straight to the Z Natural?
I think Amazon has some of the Z Natural stuff. I'm not sure if they have that. I have an account with Z Natural, and you know, usually over whatever, it's free shipping. So I buy my cordyceps extract there. I buy coconut milk powder there. I buy the broccoli powder, broccoli sprout powder, kale powder. They have a lot of that stuff. The CAT makes catalase again. So the OxyCell again is coming up. The catalase, the ability to make the catalase.
Where is the CAT?
I didn't realize that the CAT, I was looking at that before, but I see the one. Yeah, you have the CAT, you have the SOD, you have all of your major antioxidants, you have SNPs in. Glutathione, SOD, and CAT.
So I need that gel.
I think that gel would be good for you.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm not doing it. And do you have a tendency for my, I don't remember, indirect or direct bilirubin, whichever is the one that it's not supposed to be bad. It's never in the normal range. It's not that high, especially if I do a liver detox, it gets to the normal range just barely, but.
Yeah. So it's like, they call it Gilbert's disease.
That's right. I have that.
Yeah. Yeah. The FCRR is,
where's the?
DNDM, this is the red one at the bottom. DNA damage, right? The ability of your body to repair when there's DNA damage. So of course, avoiding the toxins and the exposures that cause that, but we live in a real world. So, you know, the antioxidants can definitely help with that.
Okay.
Let's see, limit radiation exposure.
Done with that. I miss my x-ray machine though. I like x-rays. But
it helps to diagnose things, but not so good.
I guess I'm really allowing clients to bring them in now, but that's the thing I miss the most, my little tiny clinic I have.
Do they have, humans, we can just write, I can write a thing and send somebody off to the x-ray lab.
They're usually coming from other vets. But,
oh, they come from other vets.
They don't always x-ray old pets, you know? Oh, they're old. Well, so what? I want to see what's there, you know?
Yeah, what do you see? Like, could you see tumors and other things?
Well, just where, you know, osteoarthritis, or I mean, I can feel it.
Yeah.
Nice to see it.
And you manipulate, so that's a good thing for you to know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Most vets don't, right? Oh, yeah, of course you would manipulate, but most vets don't, right?
No, because you have to spend thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours to learn how to do it post-grad.
Learn how to do it, yeah.
And have your paradigm shift open, so.
Exactly. No. And I don't know how to manipulate pets because it's a different technique, even though I saw when you did it with Cassidy, it was like, oh, cool.
It's the angle of the adjustments is different.
Yeah, yeah. I know human anatomy, but I don't know pet anatomy.
Yeah.
So inflammation, you know, tendencies towards inflammation, the gluten intolerance stuff is all there.
What tolerance?
Gluten intolerance. Not terrible, like, but you know, you've got the DQA2 and the DQ2.2.
Okay, I think I'm on the wrong page.
Oh, bottom of 7.
Bottom of 7, I have, which one?
The DQs, HLA-DQ.
Oh, gluten yeah. Intolerance.
Yeah. So you have a bunch of them that are related to gluten intolerance.
So it's not celiac, but it's, you want
to. No, usually they're reds when they're celiac. Let's see, there's another one down further. You do have a couple of reds.
Where's the, which one?
The IL-5.
IL-5 is gluten intolerance.
IL-13. No, those are IL-5. That's interleukins. I don't know if that's specific. I think that's more immune system related. IL-5, interleukin-5. It stimulates B cells. It's important in fighting off parasitic and bacterial infections. Yeah, no, it's not specifically related there. So your vitamin C and D and probiotics and antioxidants like glutathione.
Yeah, I need to get the glutathione.
Yeah. LRP, don't remember that. I know the FUT2, I'll just quickly remind you of what that is. That's your ability to make bifidus.
Yeah.
So the importance of taking your probiotics.
Yeah, I take probiotics.
299 and probiotic foods and all that. The LRP is related to increased risk of developing various inflammatory diseases like Alzheimer's. So, you know, all the stuff we talked about for protecting your brain is a good thing.
So protect the brain.
Protect your brain. Decrease inflammation, healthy immune system. Your vitamin D levels are important. Just keep your vitamin D in the optimal range. Okay. And living in Oregon is going to be very different in terms of your natural exposure to sun than it is in Austin. So you may have to adjust to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Some whoops, what happened here? Allergies and hyper, where did it go? Oh, it closed on me. Okay, darn. Allergies and hypersensitivities. So, you know, seasonal, do you have some seasonal stuff?
Well, no, because I have this holistic allergy treatment that I do, Advanced Allergy Therapeutics. It's a digital system and acupressure, and no.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
So I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved up here last year, I thought, oh, God, I'm getting a cold. And then I realized, no, I'm related to all the tree pollen in the air. It was thick with it. And I'm fine. Uh-huh. Last year, it wasn't. So I'm good. But which one is the allergy ones?
All of these here, look here. What the heck? It keeps, I got to do something different here. Let me open this in a different, I don't know why it keeps closing on me. Open in a new window. There we go. That should help. All right. Go here. Here we go. It's not terrible. It's just a few heterozygous ones.
Yeah. What page is that? Oh, it's okay. Seasonal allergy. My dad had it.
Yeah. DAO has to do with histamine, the production of histamine.
Anyway, I fixed it, but okay. That makes sense because my dad, he had to have a handkerchief in his pocket all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you're not necessarily going to express these things. It's like your epigenetics has a huge thing in here.
I fixed it.
you know, and this is just, you know, this is related to blood clotting, it decreased ability, but you've got, it's only one of the blood clotting factors. And, you know, the stuff you're already doing, keeping active, keeping your inflammation down, healthy weight, healthy blood sugar, all of that stuff is going to be helpful there.
This is because you're not creating the clotting factors, or you might create?
You might create too much of them.
Okay. Yeah.
Barely anything in the blood pressure area. The CETP has to do with cholesterol production. And I think all the stuff, there's nothing in particular to do with that other than all the stuff we've been talking. So I said earlier, right, by the time we get to the end, all the stuff that we've talked about for other things usually are going to protect you from these. And it's just the ability to transfer and move triglycerides and cholesterol. Aerobic exercise, fiber, fats, you know, all the good fats, limit alcohol, sugar, you know, all the stuff we've talked about. Nitric oxide, no, we talked about that earlier with Paula and with Diana is, the arugula is a really good one with that, the beets. You can get the nitric oxide test strips and work on keeping you in that mode.
Yeah, I actually take nitric oxide. Powder stuff from human you or something. Anyway.
Okay. B6, you know, it's you have a tendency to be low, so you got to be careful. The D we talked about already. You do have some SNPs in the A, so if you're not taking A, you are, then you're good. Okay, and then the zinc, same thing.
I mean, it's the white spots in the fingernails. And basically, you just have to keep taking a higher dose.
Keep taking a higher dose because your body needs more and has you know, 75% of that pathway is going to be reduced.
So should you take it more than once a day? I mean, I take most of my stuff in the morning.
You know, with minerals, usually not. I mean, you try it that way and see if that helps.
Well, I don't know. I mean, just
you have that monitor. You can look at your nails, right? So try taking it twice a day. And then compare it to how it is once a day. I don't know. Usually with minerals and fat solubles, it doesn't matter. You can take it at one time. But, I mean, you certainly might, if you're taking a whole lot of stuff at the same time, if you're taking it with magnesium, it can
interfere.
Okay. Copper. What's that?
Is that prevent absorption?
Yeah, they interfere with each other's absorption.
I'm not, because I'm taking the morning magnesium is at night, so.
Okay, that's perfect. And copper, just make sure you're not taking copper with your ion, zinc, because they interfere with each other.
I don't think I do. No, I don't take any.
I think with the iron, you know, you've got just the one heterozygous. Just focus on your you know, your green leafies and your iron rich foods. And the B9 looks really good, except for that one receptor there and your B12. So it's really just the methylation that affects these, not.
Well, my B12 was low according to the.
Well, the methylmalonic acid was high, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But genetically, you've got some MTRRs in the methylation area. You've got the MTRs and MTHFRs. So the B12 is important for you to keep going on. And as far as your athletic performance, I can't keep them straight. I got to memorize which ones are which related to, but it looks like collagen repair is sluggish for you. So it's really important to make sure. And that has to do with bone health. So, you know, collagen is part of all that.
So you can take the collagen for the bone health.
Yeah. Well, you can do bone broth if you're careful and you know that it's.
We don't need meat. No bone broth for me.
No. Okay. Yeah, I thought you said bone broth, but there's the, I like the new, there's two new ones that are collagen support, formulas, and they've got protein in them. And one is Sun Warrior and one is Amazing Grass Glow.
So the Amazing Grass, the Sun Warrior, doesn't it have pea protein in it? I can't do that.
I think both of them do, actually.
It makes me have gas.
Lynn knows of another one that's just the herbs that you could take with whatever you wanted to. Lynn, if you can put that in the chat or tell us. Okay. What that is?
Yeah, the brand name is Anima Mundi.
How do you spell that?
A-N-I-M-A M-U-N-D-I. It's two words.
M-U-N-D-I?
Yep. Anima, A-N-I-M-A Mundi, M-U-N-D-I. I'm going to put that in there, but they've got a website. And it's a plant collagen booster.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the protein powder, so that way you
right.
don't.
It's just the herbs. It's just the herbs.
Does it work pretty well?
Yeah, I started using it shortly after we started talking about collagen. And so what I do with it is make like a tea with it and then take the herbs and put it in the smoothie.
Because I'm already doing that with the bone herbs.
Yeah, this has shawu, horsetail, gynostemma, nettles, calendula, and comfrey. They're all organic and wildcrafted.
How much comfrey? Because comfrey, you have to be careful about taking too much of.
Well, I think it's more the comfrey root that's the problem, isn't it?
Not the it's the root that you want to be careful of, not the. That's my understanding, at least.
Yeah.
It's also, I was just reading this last week, if you put some of it in like a coconut cream, you can actually put it on your face to make a good cream, a beauty lotion. I'm not seeing an actual amount here.
So the website is A-N-I-M-A, and next word, M-U-D-I.
M-U-D-I, yeah. So the website is A-N-I-M-A-M-U-N-D-I herbals.com. And didn't I put that in there? Yeah, I put it in the chat if you're on it.
The chat because the screenshot.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to have to, I'll finish up with a couple of these things and we need to move on because we're going to be here all night.
Yeah.
You are a sprinter rather than an endurance person.
Okay.
That's this one, this HAIFI. The PPAR G glycer is related to mitochondrial function. I think that with, if you're struggling with energy, then there's other stuff that you could do to support mitochondrial function, CoQ10 and NAD. But I think you're taking a lot of stuff. And if you're not struggling with having low energy at this point, you're probably fine and you're compensating for that one. And then, yeah, and again, it's related to insulin resistance,
which one is
that one, the PPAR G1A.
Okay.
All right, I think we're done.
Thank you.
Phew. These are taking longer than I thought.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on. Okay, I think I want to take a 5-minute break. Then we'll go Sheila. Sheila, you still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
You learning a lot?
I am. A lot.
Okay, so what have you, you know, we'll go through and see what you've got for yourself, you know, because I'm sure you took a lot of notes from other people's stuff on things that you already have. So we'll go through it. All right, I'm going to take a, like 5 minutes just to, you know, take a quick bio break and get my pages in order. Okay, I'll see you guys in a minute.
Lynn, can I ask you a question? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have to leave at 5 to take my kid to karate. I'm like 3 people down. If I bail, can I just pop on to tomorrow's call? And will I just still be on the list?
How long will you be gone? You're saying 5 your time?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
So 7 our time, so about an hour and a half.
In about an hour and a half, I kind of need to leave a call. I don't know if I can come back on.
Okay.
And I don't need to be bumped up in front of anyone. I'm free tomorrow also.
Okay.
And well, I just have a feeling I'm looking. I think there's 2 people in front of me. I have a feeling she's going to get to me possibly right when I'm leaving.
Oh.
Can I be on tomorrow's call?
You can be, yeah.
You go quicker after this. So I think we'll be able to get you. We'll be able to get to you because, you know, we've had a lot of preamp. So a lot of people.
And I missed some of the stuff in the beginning. And I think I might just have a few questions. And maybe not by the time you get to me. I might not even have any questions.
Tomorrow. So if you wanted to go tomorrow, we could. We could bump you tomorrow.
We what? Yeah. Would you want to just see what happens at 5 o'clock? And if I disappear, I'll pop on tomorrow's call, and if I have any questions, we can shove me somewhere in there.
Yep, we'll definitely, because there's less people tomorrow.
Okay, so if you get to Kimberly tonight and I don't answer and you don't see my face, it just means I'm done. I'm gone. I don't know if I can come back tonight. It'll take me a while to get this kid to his thing.
His thing.
You'll be done.
We'll do our best because I really got to speed it up a bit. I think.
It doesn't matter. And then I'll just show up tomorrow. And if I have any questions, we can squish me somewhere in there. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll see. Let's just see what happens.
All right. Hopefully you're there. I'm just going to mute myself.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, though. I'm free all day. I'm free all tomorrow, too. So I actually don't even know, but every time you go through, someone's stuff aligns up with mine. So whoever just went has almost the same. She must be my sister. I forget her name, but we had a lot of the same stuff. The little animal person with the cute glasses. I don't know who that was.
That was Carolyn. Well, she's a vet.
She's a vet, yeah. Yeah. She had a lot of my same stuff. Thank you. Lynn, I have another question. Actually, okay. that book that she had us order, it's like blue. It goes with this genetic detoxification report, right? And I'm looking at the pages. That's the pages in the book that I can look up. Is that what she's referencing? Yeah, okay, I'm watching. I'm always a little late to the call. Okay. All right, so I have that book on the way anyway. So, I mean, anything I have a question about, I can just turn to page 31 when my book comes and nerd out myself.
Absolutely.
There you go.
My own Dr. Rita Marie. Okay.
It'll help you to, you know, have listened and we can discuss it, but then you'll just go back and say, oh, what'd she say about that? Oh, yeah.
Right. That's what it is.
The more you hear it, the more you see it. And exactly.
Okay. Okay, that book's on its way. I think it arrives tomorrow, so I'll be all right.
Perfect.
Okay.
And then we also have these that we're going to load up to the thing, these beautiful charts.
Oh, I got those at the, what was it called, Shine?
Oh, Shine, that's right, you were at Shine.
So I have those, yeah, but I was just too sick to pay attention.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so I have those now. I already have those. All right.
Beautiful.
Wasn't sure. I have to pull those back out. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with those. But okay.
Yeah, well, if you bring them out, yeah, we'll show you what to do with them. Because what I said earlier, like you take a highlighter. This is yellow. This is pretend red because we don't make red highlighters. Can't read through them. And then anything that you go through on yours, not everything is on my charts.
Right.
Everything. But you just go through and mark anything that's yellow on yours. You mark with your yellow. And then you go through and red, you mark with your orange, and that way when you go back through it, the way these charts are set up is it tells you a little bit about it. It's just a short summary of what health risks that might entail, and then what do you do about it? So what do you avoid, what do you add more of, and what lab testing you might want to get if you need to.
Okay. I remember those are pretty cool. Yeah, I just brought them home and stuck them in my binder and went, okay.
Good for you.
All right,
I'm excited that you guys are so interested in this stuff because, you know, some people just say, tell me what to do. And you guys really want to know. I mean, even when I've tried to go quickly, no, tell me more about that. You know, I really love working with people who want to know. And I think that the more empowered you are to know, you may not, I don't remember all of these. Don't ever expect yourself to remember them. But I love that you do because then you're empowered when a doctor says, and we're going to just write this prescription for you. You're like, no, I'm not taking that. My genes say, no way, I'm not doing it.
Right.
Oh, 95% of her pathways for detoxifying drugs, you know, are operating possibly at like 80% versus 100%. So she's not going to do well with those things. And we all need to know that. You know, we all need to know what we need to avoid and where some of our major exposures are, right? Caffeine or alcohol or heterocyclic amines or whatever. So I think it's important. So Sheila, hey, are you next or is Jeannie next?
I'm here.
So you're next. She's after you. All right. So what we're going to do is, I should have stopped my recording while I was doing that, but oh well. We'll just have one long, big recording. The recording's still going, right, Lynn?
Yeah, it says it's recording.
Okay, good, because I don't see it anymore. I just see the name of my thing. I'm like, oh, no, I don't see the recording. Okay.
I forgot that my microphone
is open. I think is I'm going to stop the recording, and then I'm going to start it again. So I'm going to say stop recording.